Good evening, all people that are standing in attendance for the Stop for a Newark Town Center. Please step outside until that item comes up. More seats will be available after we've completed other items on the agenda. And lastly, please do not block the exits. If you're standing in the exit, please do not block the exits, the doors, please. Please, ma'am, please, sir. I see a few people in the doors. Please do not block the exits. Thank you for your cooperation. Call this meeting to order. Please stand for a moment of silence.
Did you?
Thank you. Tonight we're joined by Troop 342. They will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Bullock?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Good job.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 present.
Thank you. Now we have approval minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of our meeting January 22nd, 2013.
Motion to approve.
Is that second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Any announcements from members of council? Council Member Weiner?
I'm just turning my mic on. Is it on now?
Push
it.
Push your button.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Everyone, please check your microphones.
Hello.
Councilmember Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tonight I will be removing resolution number 13050 from the consent calendar for the purpose of withdrawal. I will replace it under item L with another resolution because of the typo in resolution 13050.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Councilmember Bell.
If possible, could we have the doors to the chamber at least shut so that we can focus on the matters at hand in the chamber?
Yes. Could we please close the doors as we conduct the business of the citizens of Newcastle County?
Thank you, sir.
Please close the doors. Those who stand in front of doors, please do not stand in front of doors. SE2, yes, if you could not stand in front of doors, thank you.
I'm about to make a motion to go out of order and adjourn.
Not tonight. Introduction of ordinances, Madam Clerk, please proceed.
Ordinance 13009, amend the annual operating budget, revised County Council. Ordinance 13010, amend the FY 2013 approved operating budget, revised administration. Appropriate $500,000 to the Office of Law for the Workers' Compensation Program.
We now have reports from select and special committees. Could I please have the report from the committees, please? We'll start with the executive committee. Today we discussed the appointments and prospective candidates to the Board of License and Inspection and to the Diversity Commission. We also discussed at length the revised job description of the police chief. land use. Councilmember Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last Tuesday, we had a council meeting, or land use meeting, and it was very lengthy. It lasted about 3.5 hours. Couple of the projects that we talked about are on tonight's agenda, and I hope that they don't last 3.5 hours. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ritter. Public Safety.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, sir. This afternoon, we held the Public Safety Committee meeting. We had two ordinances and one resolution reviewed by council members. We had an excellent presentation made on our County Police K-9 unit by Senior Corporal Tobin of the County Police. Chief Setting and staff attended the meeting, presented some updates on various injuries, officer injuries, and unfortunate injury to a serious injury to one of our paramedics, and also gave us an update on the predictive policing, which will now be referred to as TAPS. We had then a presentation by our EMS division. Chief Tan spoke on the new Southern Paramedic Station and brought us up to date on statistics of staffing and education.
Thank you, Councilmember Bell. Moving on now to consent, the consent calendar. Any member of council?
Point of order, Mr. President.
Yes. Ms. Carter.
Administrative Finance Committee report.
Okay, good. You were not on the agenda, but go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Today, the Administrative Finance Committee met at 1:30. All council members were present. We reviewed the checkbook presentation that was given by the CFO and the finance team today, and the highlight of which is that after years of decline and stagnation, it seems that real estate transfer tax revenues are going to improve significantly this year, which is welcome news. Also, for those in the public, you can look at your Newcastle County finances in our on our website in a checkbook presentation format so that you can understand where your revenues, your tax revenues are spent in the county. Also, we considered two resolutions, one authorizing two purchase orders for upgrades to the software system for public safety and 911 system. The other purchase order was to authorize purchase of new library books and materials for the Ellesmere Public Library. We have no ordinances, no item JKL. Under other, we discussed the improvement to the audiovisual system for the committee chamber the council uses for its committee meetings, and then a purchase order was approved for that, or an amount was approved for that. We had council request and closed with a small discussion under expense and revenue roundtable, and then the meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Councilmember Cartier. Any other reports from committees? Before we move on to the consent calendar, I'm going to ask again those who are standing in the door to my right, please do not stand there. We have police in the back. Ask our officers to please ask the people to govern themselves accordingly. Thank you so much. Consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by a simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection, and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such and published in the newspaper and available in the back of this room. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that resolution number 13050 be removed from the consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar. Mr. Bell, would you please move that you abbreviate the consent calendar items?
Absolutely, Mr. President. I would move that Resolution 13-036 through Resolution R13-045 be read as a group. They are for the Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association Fire Prevention Awards.
Thank you, Mr. Bear. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Madam Clerk.
Resolution 13034, honoring the life of Victor Spinski. Resolution 13035, congratulating James and Ella Mae Furlow on their 50th wedding anniversary. Resolution 13036, congratulating and commending Gianna Lacombe on achieving first place in the Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association Kindergarten Garden Fire Prevention Poster Contest. Resolution 13037, Michael Anthony Honicky, first place, first grade fire prevention poster contest. Resolution 13038, Christopher Albert, first place, second grade fire prevention poster contest. Resolution 13039, Abigail Cushing, first place, third grade fire prevention poster contest. Resolution 13040, Jamie Pacheco, first place, special topic fire prevention poster contest. Resolution 13041, Kira Nicole Wall, first place, fifth grade fire prevention essay contest. Resolution 13042, Jacqueline Frazier, first place, sixth grade fire prevention essay contest. Resolution 13043, Alexander Gray, first place, seventh grade fire prevention essay contest. Resolution 13044, Savannah Panko, first place, eighth grade fire prevention essay contest. Resolution 13045, Madeline Fontana, first place, fourth grade fire prevention essay contest. Resolution 13046, congratulating Robert Bobby Johnston on earning the Royal Ranger Gold Medal of Achievement. Resolution 13047, reappointing Daniel McFadden to the Newcastle County Employees Retirement System Board of Trustees. Resolution 13048, reappointing James Keeley to the Newcastle County Ethics Commission. Resolution 13049, consenting to the appointment of Torin Williams to the Newcastle County Board of License Inspection and Review.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 13 yes.
Calendar has been passed. Presentation, do we have any members of council who wish to make a presentation at this time?
Mr. President,
point
of order, I think I should ask that resolution 13050 be removed from, well, it is removed from the consent calendar, but that it be withdrawn before we go into presentations.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins.
Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. President, I move to suspend the order of business to consider resolution 13-056 prior to agenda item G.
Second.
Presentations.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So move. Consideration of resolution removed from the consent calendar of the resolutions. R13-051. Mr. Retta. 56, I'm sorry.
No.
R13-051.
Yeah. Yes. Mr. President, I move that resolution 13-056 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13056, congratulating and commending Chief David J. Roberts for 37 years of dedicated service to Newcastle County.
Mr. Bell.
As read by title, and we'll have a formal presentation to Chief Roberts with all of council and his immediate family. After the fire prevention.
Okay, thank you.
Discussion. We got a wide lens.
Discussion.
Call the roll. Go ahead.
Have discussion on it?
We call the roll.
You going to have discussion before you call the roll?
Point of order. Mr. Smiley? You have discussion? You have discussion point?
Yeah, I mean, there are people here who have come to speak on this item.
Yes.
That's why it was removed from the consent calendar initially, to allow them an opportunity to speak.
Okay. Are we referring to 056?
Yes.
Mr. Bell has already put title. Now we'll open it up for the public. Please come. to be moved.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Please state your name.
Vince Ciccone.
Yes.
Delmarva Power. Thank you. Members of the council and honored guests, I'm Vince Ciccone with Delmarva Power, and I just wanted to read a couple comments regarding Chief Roberts. Delmarva Power would like to recognize the longstanding service, commitment, and dedication of Chief David J. Roberts to Newcastle County, as well as his support for Delmarva Power's Emergency Services Partnership Program. Delmarva Power launched the program in the year 2000, and Chief Roberts was part of a team of public safety professionals and volunteers who provided guidance and feedback to help create one of the most unique public-private partnerships in existence today. This program strengthened relationships between our company and police, fire, and emergency management personnel throughout Delmarva Power service territory and beyond. While we have worked closely with both volunteer and career public safety professionals for the past 100 years, our ESPP program has allowed us to build upon those relationships with more programs that focus on education, communication, and proactive partnerships, improving the overall effectiveness of responding to major events in our community. Chief Roberts and the 911 Communications Center were involved in many facets of this work. Delmarva Power would like to recognize the leadership of Chief Roberts for his work in building relationships with emergency response agencies like ours. Over the past 13 years, we valued his input, trusted his feedback, appreciated his willingness to include Delmarva Power in the overall effort to improve the quality of life for residents and businesses in Newcastle County and ultimately throughout Delaware. This letter is signed by myself and Gary Stockbridge, President of Delmarva Power. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Mr. Bell?
I knew that I've actually made the motion, correct?
Yeah.
Call for
the vote. Please call
for
the vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
If I could vote twice, I would. Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call reveal 13, yes.
Thank you. Now we shall continue with presentations. Mr. Bell?
Thank you, Mr. President. If everyone would kind of bear with us here for a few minutes, we're going to do something before council that's never been done in the past, and it involves our Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association and their program of fire safety education, both poster and essay contests. These particular programs run from kindergarten up through eighth grade, and we're proud this evening to have each of the first place winners from kindergarten up to eighth grade with their representatives from their school, either principal and or teacher, and in some cases both. And also we will be calling upon their family to join us up front, as well as the councilmen who represent the districts for these particular awards. So this evening we begin. I would like to call forward to assist with the presentations President Dan Carrier, Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association, Charles Sheridan, immediate past president of the Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association, Patty Carnevale, who is the chairperson for the Fire Safety Education Program for the Newcastle County Firefighters Association, and Joe Mullen. If they would come forward. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask in this first group, gentlemen, if you could kind of stand off in front of the podium there for now, and young lady. We'd like to ask the following students, their school representatives, as well as their family to come forward in front of the president's podium. And from kindergarten, Gianna Lacone, All Saints, sponsored by Ellesmere Fire Company, and Councilman Joe Retta, if you would join with us. First grade, Michael Anthony Honicki, Our Lady of Fatima, Wilmington Manor Fire Company, Councilman George Smiley. We have second grade, Christopher Albert, St. John the Beloved, Mill Creek Fire Company, Councilman Sheldon. Third grade, Abigail Cushing, Heritage Elementary, Mill Creek Fire Company, Mr. Sheldon. And special topic, Jamie Pacheco, Richardson Park Learning Center, Ellesmere Fire Company, and Councilman Joe Retta. So if you would join us up front. Okay, we've been asked, and we'll try and do this, if each one of the fire companies that are here with the associated winners, if we could have one representative, Ellesmere, Wilmington Manor, Mill Creek, come forward.
You realize, Councilman, there's no room for you up here.
I know, but that's okay.
Okay, I'm going to kind of sneak behind the podium here. At the conclusion of this program, we're going to ask Patty Carnevale if she would like to say a few words about the program. But let me read the first resolution for Gianna Lacombe. And the resolutions are similar in the way they're written. For Michael Anthony Honicki, Christopher Albert, Abigail Cushing, and Jamie Pacheco. Resolution 13-036, congratulating and commending Gianna Lacombe on achieving first place in the Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association Kindergarten Fire Prevention Poster Contest. Whereas Gianna Lacombe won first place in the Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association Kindergarten Fire Prevention Poster Contest on November 21st, 2012, and also Michael Anthony Honicki, Christopher Albert, Abigail Cushing, and Jamie Pacheco have an finish up here. And their particular topic was identify things in the home that will burn you. Whereas each of these students attend various schools in the Newcastle County area. Their teachers and principals, respectively, have enabled the children to participate in this educational worthwhile event, demonstrating that fire prevention is an important awareness program that benefits all ages. And Gina Lacombe, and I guess Karen actually has each one of the resolutions, and we highlight each one of the students' names and their parents, which have joined us up front. They were entered into the local fire prevention poster contest by the respective fire company. Once the poster was judged through the local fire company, it was entered into the Newcastle County Volunteer Firefighters Association contest for all of Newcastle County. Now, therefore, be it resolved by and for County Council of Newcastle County, the County Council hereby congratulates and commends Gianna Lacombe, Michael Anthony Honicki, Christopher Albert, Abigail Cushing, Jamie Pacheco, their respective principal and teachers, their parents and family, as well as the fire service departments that are represented here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, your award winners for kindergarten, first, second, third, and special topic.
We go to this next.
It is.
jam tonight. Yeah. Got to be flexible. It would be fine. Yeah, I'll come back up tomorrow, sir.
Patty, would you like to say a few words now, and then we can move into the other grades?
First of all, Councilman Bell and Council, we'd like to thank you for recognizing the children. It takes a lot to get in the schools and get everybody to participate, but it's well worth it. If we can teach them one thing that'll save them or save somebody else, it's well worth everything that we do. And we would just like to thank you. Like you said, this has never been done, and it's an honor to be here to have these children recognized. Thank you.
Let's give them another big hand.
I am. Yeah. Yes, you are. Absolutely. Okay, next we have fourth grade, Madeline Fontana, All Saints, Ellesmere Fire Company, and Councilman Retta. If you'd please join us up front with your family, teachers, and also the fire department, as well as Councilman Retta. Fifth grade, Kara Wall, Brandywine Springs, Mill Creek Fire Company, and Mr. Sheldon. Sixth grade, Jacqueline Frazier, Brandywine Springs, Mill Creek Fire Company, Councilman Sheldon. Seventh grade, Alexander Gray, St. Elizabeth, City of Wilmington, Councilman J. Street. Eighth grade, Savannah Panko, St. John the Beloved, Mill Creek Fire Company, Councilman Sheldon. Okay, each of the students that stand before you this evening in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, 8th grade were also in the New Castle County Volunteer Firefighters Association Fire Prevention Essay Contest. Each one were required to submit an essay based on a topic, and the one topic was what would you do if your clothes catch on fire, and topics changed as they moved into the 8th grade. So what you're looking at this evening is Madeline Fontana, Carol Wall, Jacqueline Frazier, Alexander Gray, Savannah Panko, all first place winners for each of their respective grades in the county's volunteer fire service program. And I'd like to mention this evening that the group that was just up, as well as all the students that you see this evening, all went on to compete in the Delaware Volunteer Firefighters Association poster and essay contest. Each one of the students from kindergarten to eighth from New Castle County placed first, second, and third, all in the top three. Each of our students placed within the top three on a state competition level.
problem, sir. Appreciate you, man.
James, any more pictures? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please give them a round of applause. Thank you very much once again for taking the time to come in this evening.
Thank you.
You got Rich a chair.
Sure.
That's for the presentation. I'm going to just write you that.
Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir.
Let's give all of our honorees another big hand. Congratulations.
Betsy, we're going to do Dave Roberts now. Yeah, we'll do Dave. Yeah.
Chamber's almost empty.
Bell.
President Bullock and all members of council will join me up in front of the president's podium. We will be presenting resolution number 13-056. And at this time, I'd ask Chief David P.J. Roberts and his family, and anyone here from the Capitol Fire Company that would like to join them up the side here, please come up.
currently serves as the chairman of the Delaware State Fire Prevention Commission. He is active in the International Association of Fire Chiefs, Eastern Division, Delaware Emergency Number Association, National Emergency Number Association, Association of Public Safety Communications Officers, and the National Fire Protection Agency. He served as president of the Newcastle County Volunteer Fire Chiefs Association and remains in various leadership roles within the local county and state volunteer firefighters association. Now, therefore, be it resolved by and for the County Council of Newcastle County, we hereby congratulate and commend Chief David J. Roberts on his retirement and thank him for 37 consecutive years of outstanding service to the citizens of Newcastle County. We also wish him much success in his future endeavors.
Drink shirt on Mr. Roberts at Harry Savoy Grill at 9 o'clock.
Give Chief another big hand and congratulations on your service, well done. Well, thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank all members of council.
Yes.
Where are we at?
There are some available seats up front. For those of you standing, there are some available seats up front. Moving on now to items removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. R13-051. Mr. Rutter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to have resolution R13-051 placed before council's consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-051, plan of promenade at Christiana White Clay Creek 100, south side of I-95, north side of Eagle Run Road. 0.3 mile east of Route 273 redevelopment plan proposing to remove a 286,498 square foot retail warehouse building and redevelop the site with a 443,300 square foot shopping center, CR zoning.
Mr. Rutter.
Thank you. What this is, I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, it is the old Sears Scratch and Dent down Eagle Run Road. And Kimco a real estate company from Maryland, I believe that's their home base, came over and they purchased this land, and within that they're going to tear down the building, improve, and put up, I believe it's 400 and some thousand square feet total. And with that, they're going to improve the Eagle Run Road from 273 on around up towards 7. They're going to have a turning lane in for coming from 7 to 273 for Del Mar to go in, and there's going to be a traffic light there also. And if I don't know if everybody can see it, but there's like four entrances and exits on that property, and they're in negotiations with Delmarva to purchase a piece of ground, so part of it, where the road goes around, they can enhance that road. With that, one of the big things on this, the jobs are going to be local. Delaware contractors, Delaware workers. The stores are going to be, that are going to be in there, they're going to be built by Delaware people. They're making their money, and the money's going to stay here with the Delaware contractors and Delaware people. And I'd like to commend Kimco for their commitment on this. And if anyone has anything, questions on this, there's representatives for Kimco and the engineer, and Wendy Stabler are here.
Thank you, Mr. Redder. Any questions from council or comments? The floor is now open for public comment. Please come forward if you have public comment on R13-051. Seeing none, the floor is now closed. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. R13-052.
Yes, Mr. President.
Smiley.
I request R13-052 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 13052, authorizing the execution of purchase order contracts totaling $146,210.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. The first purchase order for $70,210 is for computer software and annual support for an additional 100 Interact mobile licenses for the police department. This is the car-to-car and car-to-dispatch communication system. And the $76,000, as you heard from Chief Roberts, this is the funding to begin the Smart 911 implementation in the call center.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Council, you have any questions or comments? Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I'm going to be supporting this, especially tragically, one of my constituents whose wife died helped spearhead this, working with our EMS and our public safety department, and I'll be thinking about him as I vote in support of this tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for that comment. Anyone else? Council? Questions? Comments? The floor is now open for public comment. Please come forward. Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. R13-053. Mr. Cartier?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. I'd like Resolution 13-053 to be read by title only, placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 13053, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract totaling $35,000.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This purchase order will cover the cost of library books and materials for the Ellsworth Public Library, and it's always great to see us investing in better collections for our libraries, and particularly this one is covering Ellesmere.
Council, questions, comments? Public comment? Please come forward. See you.
none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call reveals 13, yes.
R13-054. Per title for consideration and approved by council and adoption. Second. Madam Clerk.
Resolution 13054, approving a revised position description for the Newcastle County Chief of Police pursuant to Newcastle County Code Section 26.03105F.
As a matter of public policy, I believe it is appropriate that we seek this revision to move our police department forward and so that our citizens in Newcastle County can be served with excellence. And so it is a matter of public policy before us today, tonight rather, and we move forward with this tonight. Council, do we have any questions or comments on R13054?
Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
Just for the record, we had a very extensive conversation this afternoon in the Executive Committee, and I believe that the 13 council members of this council all came to one conclusion, and that is that whatever we do with class specifications, be it in the police department, paramedics, or other sections of the county, that they be consistent and fair and equitable to all employees.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any other comments or questions? Public comment, please come forward. Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President, the roll call reveals 13, yes.
Thank you. R13-055. Mr. Sheldon?
Yes. Mr. President, I would like Resolution 13-055 be read in by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-055, amend the capital budget, increase appropriations by $575,000 for the Police Academy renovation project.
Mr. President? Yes, excuse me. Sorry, Mr. President.
Yes.
This resolution, what it does is give $575,000 for the Police Academy renovation job, which $200,000 is coming from the county, $375,000 is coming from the state. Our matches again is $200,000. The renovations, which will be included in the ordinance 008, is for the training purposes, for showers, for fitness rooms, for the cadets to train as they're to work out and so forth as they train. And they're going through the program.
Council, questions, comments? Seeing none, public comment, please come forward if you have a comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. R13-056. Mr. Bell? We've done that. We did that.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome. We'll move on to ordinances. 13-005. I believe that's Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. For consolidation purposes, and I'll confer with council to council to see if there is a problem with it, but I'd like to move the resolution 13005 and 006 be combined for discussion purposes, mainly because the one is only saying where the money's coming from and the other one moves the money into the fund.
Council.
No problem. Madam Clerk, if you'd like to read them both. If anybody would second it.
Second.
Thank you.
Ordinance 13005, amend the grants budget, appropriate $150,000 from the fiscal year 2013 approved operating budget to the property maintenance revolving fund. Ordinance 13006, amend the annual fiscal year 2013 operating budget, reduce the fiscal year 2013 appropriation to the Department of Land Use by $150,000 to provide funding for the property maintenance revolving fund.
Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Myself and co-chair, Retta of Land Use Committee, is extremely excited to bring this ordinance forward tonight for consideration of the council, as this will move $150,000 into the revolving property fund to help fix up the rundown and dilapidated properties around this county that affect the everyday qualities of life of our residents.
Comments or questions, council? Public comment, please come forward. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Bullock.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Mr. Stiller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. 13-007. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move it. Ordinance 13-007 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 13-007, amend the grants budget, realign $100,000 of federal funding within the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, fiscal year 2009 Edward Byrne JAG program grant to provide funding for the warranty on in-car cameras that have been awarded by the Department of Highway Safety, the Department of Public Safety.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. As discussed in committee, this will realign $100,000 of federal funding, which has already been appropriated in grant money, and it will be dedicated and go towards the 5-year maintenance plan for 75 in-car cameras that will be installed in 75 of our patrol vehicles for our Newcastle County Police. As you'll recall, at the last meeting, we passed to accept and authorize the expenditure of $344,200 to our county police department to purchase the cameras, and that was a grant that was received through the United States Department of Transportation through the State Office of Highway Safety.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Council, comments or questions?
Mr. President.
Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, I just wanted to place on the record that this $100,000 actually buys a 5-year warranty for the 75.
Correct. We discussed that in committee today. Any other questions or comments? Public comment, please come forward if you have a comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Bullock.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. 13-008. Mr. Sheldon.
Mr. President, thank you. I would like Ordinance 13-008 be read in by title only, placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Section.
Ordinance 13-008, amend the capital budget, increase appropriations by $575,000 for the Police Academy renovation project.
Mr. President, what this does is this appropriates the money of the resolution that we passed before us about 10 minutes ago. Same thing, $375,000 from the state bond bill that was done last year, and $200,000 is our share for the facilities to be upgraded and renovated.
Thank you, Mr. Sheldon. Council, comments or questions? Public comment, please come forward. Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you. 11-057, Mr. Sheldon.
Mr. President, I would like Ordinance 11-057 be read in by title only, placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 11-057, revised zoning map, Mill Creek 100 North Side Capitol Trail and West Side Possum Park Road, Newark, Delaware. 54.97 acres from S Suburban to CR Commercial Regional, and amend the 2007 comprehensive plan consistent therewith.
Mr. Sheldon.
Mr. President, first I'd like to introduce you to the 9th District, which is sitting behind me. if anybody's not from the 9th, I don't know why they're here. That's first of all. Second of all, this property has come up before County Council. It started back in 1974, 2 years after Joe Biden became U.S. Senator. It came before Council then and was defeated. Then we came before courts two other times. And it's also before County Council once again in 1985, with all four times being denied. It is here before us tonight with revisions and so forth. And the developers here, I'm sure, with the owner, the engineers. And I would really appreciate if you would let, there's a group called CAPA. There's six members that would like to speak. And he promised me they'd be 3 minutes apiece, one after the other, giving no time to one to speak more or less. If you could give them consideration to speak first after the applicant has his turn, and then we'll have rebuttals, and I'm sure we'll have Mr. Dave Culver to be ready on stand, because there'll be questions asked, I'm sure, with him.
Yes.
President, thank you.
Council, you have any questions or comments before we hear from the public?
We did discuss this in length, as Mr. Retta said, last Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Public comment. Please come forward. For the record, sir, please. Now, should me. Yes.
Thank you. Public comment is not capital comment,
right? Excuse me, I didn't hear your question, sir. That's correct, sir.
Could I make a brief statement?
No. After the applicant.
After the applicant, sir.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Mr. President, I didn't want to, excuse me, Mr. Abbott, I didn't want to cut off the regular public, but the umbrella group did ask to be able to speak
right
first, and sure, we've got, I'm sure we have a ton of, as people here are president of civic associations and so forth.
Yes.
But, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Sheldon.
Leave nobody out.
Thank you. Mr. Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of Council, Richard Abbott on behalf of the applicant. We were here last Tuesday for the Land Use Committee workshop, and we went through some of the background regarding the project, answered a lot of questions. I know a couple members of Council were not here at that time. So I'm going to do a brief review of the property and the project just to reorient you and to orient those that weren't here for the first time. Mr. Boyle, if you could hit the next slide. Right now, members of Council, you're being handed a paper display of what we're going to show you on the overhead. In addition, there's effectively our analysis and evaluation based on the comprehensive plan, suitability of the property, and the five UDC factors or standards, the legal standards, for this Council's determination. So I will also note with me is Dev Sitaram, who is our traffic engineer, Geza Chalko, who is our project engineer, Jim Esty, who's with my client's company, is here as well if there happen to be any organizational or tenant-type questions about the shopping center. And I'm going to also provide you, or you've been handed, a copy of the same document that you got last week, which goes through point by point on the three UDC standards and explains how this particular application meets all five of those standards. We discussed before the Land Use Department recommendation, and I imagine Mr. Culver will address it, but essentially they misapplied the standards. They did not properly evaluate the standards. They basically took they lobbed three of the standards together as if they were all the same standards. Two of the standards look at nearby properties, which are properties in very close proximity. And this project, of course, is located in the commercial corridor known as Kirkwood Highway. I'll talk a little bit more about the five UDC standards, but let me go back through the property again here with you. First, this is the overhead aerial that shows you the various intersections that were studied as a part of the traffic impact study. This shows you the corner commercial parcel here, located here. All four corners are currently zoned CR, and the comprehensive plan identifies them as commercial future development areas. Directly across Possum Park Road from the site is the Holy Angels Church and School, which is an institutional use. That property goes all the way up here to the apex of that triangle where Old Possum Park Road intersects. So our direct neighbor would be the Holy Angels Church and School. A little over 80,000 square feet of building, 276 parking spaces. So there's a consistency in terms of that non-residential type of use there. The parcel size is 55 acres. You see the boundaries of it. It the property has 2,800, sorry, Councilman Holland, sorry. Property has 2,800 feet of frontage on Possum Park Road, which is about a half a mile, and has, I think it's about 850 feet of frontage on Kirkwood Highway. The project itself is not 2,800 feet. Let me make sure you understand that. The total parcel has 2,800 feet of frontage on Possum Park. This area over here, you see the woods, you see this other area here. That's the additional 116 acres which will be set aside. And in addition, we have proposed a deed restriction. I sent council members a copy. You should have received the packet of information that was delivered to you today. And I have those deed restrictions with me. I will give those to the council or whomever. They're contingent on the rezoning approval. And what that would do is ensure that this 116 acres will be permanently deed restricted to single-family detached residential housing development. So you have a 116-acre buffer between Chapel Hill, Ridgewood Glen, Creek Bend, and this corner commercial site. Kirkwood Highway, just so you know, experiences about 30,000 vehicles per day in this segment of the road, and Possum Park Road is 15,000 square feet, or 15,000 trips per day, sorry. As I said, shopping centers here, apartments here, office and shopping, commercial here. The project proposes a traffic signal at this intersection where you see that red dot. That will be a traffic light that was directly located at the current entrance to Holy Angels, which will provide for traffic safety and enhance the safety for both the school children as well as the parishioners. The project, and we could go to the next slide because it'll show you a little bit more about the background. You'll see here, this is Middle Run that goes across the very edge here at the corner, northwest corner of Possum Park Road and Kirkwood Highway. This is a small, little tiny, precautionary steep slope area. Other than that area right there, this site in white, which is the 55 acres, has zero UDC protected environmental resources. So this project will have no effect on any protected resources. The thing I wanted to focus most on are the five UDC standards, because that's really the only relevant issue for council here tonight. If you look at the state strategies for spending, they identify, in terms of a planning perspective, where we should locate future higher density development. Those areas are called level one and level two areas. That's prepared by the Office of State Planning Coordination. They have designated part of this site as a level one area, which is the highest priority for the highest density and intensity uses, and they have identified another part of the 55 acres. I think the dividing line's kind of down the middle of it. So the area located closest to this intersection is level one, and this other area is level two. Level two is just one step down, again, recommended for the future growth areas for this type of development. The project is an infill project because everything around it is, by definition of infill, already developed. There's existing infrastructure in terms of all the various sewer, water, road. We will be making significant road improvements, as we talked about last week, about $5 million in turn lanes and the bridge widening on both of these roads where Muddy Run traverses beneath them. There's multimodal transportation. Kirkwood Highway is served by bus service. There will be a bus stop and pedestrian access associated and connected with that. And we, looking at the UDC standards, you've got the handout. The first standard is it consistent with the comprehensive plan? The comprehensive plan talks about infill. It talks about economic development. The construction of this project, which is estimated to be in the total $22 to $23 million range, will involve the creation of about 480 jobs. I think I misstated that in my letter today. I said 450. It's 480. That's based on an evaluation performed by Adel Construction that does site development and road work. They do exactly the type of work that we're talking about. The permanent jobs, both part-time and full-time, Mr. Esty, who's an expert in the commercial field and leasing and the commercial business, estimates, I believe it was about 450 part- and full-time jobs once the shopping center is built. We could also show, if I could turn to the next slide, sorry, next one forward. This is again the elevation map or the topography map. This shows you, if you go along this area here, there's about 1,000 feet separation between the closest edge of the parcel and Chapel Hill, closest rear yard. That elevation drop is about 38 feet, and there'll be a retaining wall here of 20 feet, so the shopping center will be 58 feet in elevation below Chapel Hill. So there's very little impact on the area. There will also be retaining walls along the corner and the sides that will actually be raised up. The cut will be up here. The fill will be down in this side, so there'll be very little visibility. The second criteria is the surrounding area and nearby properties. Again, we're on a commercial corridor. If we could turn to the next slide, we'll show you this is the site itself. You'll see here all the red is commercial, the yellow or orange is office. And then the next, we'll continue to show you the corridor of Kirkwood Highway. If we could have the next slide, please, Mr. Boyle. This continues on through Meadowwood, past Limestone Road, and then last slide takes us all the way on Kirkwood Highway to its end at Ellesmere. We could have that next slide. Thank you, Mr. Boyle. So this is the Price's Corner Shopping Center, and this is the end of Kirkwood Highway, or New Road, as it's called, when you get past 141 into Ellesmere. So it's a commercial corridor. We've got buffering. We've got deed restrictions. The site is cleared. It's been farmed for years. It's at a signalized intersection. It has highway frontage. All of those various factors are ones that establish satisfaction of the five UDC rezoning standards. And I think I probably only have a little time left, so I'm going to hand it over at this point to Mr. Sitaram to briefly discuss the TIS. And in the meantime, I'm going to hand a few of the documents, both what was submitted to council today and what was submitted to you tonight, as well as this display that you were provided. I'm going to hand that to the council for council to include in tonight's rezoning record.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Thank you. Next. Thank you, sir.
Mr. President, yes. Members of council, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dev Sitaram. I'm a registered professional engineer with Cadence & Associates. We are a full-service civil engineering firm that provides surveying, civil engineering, traffic, and transportation engineering services. An extensive traffic impact study was prepared for the project by Cadence & Associates, followed by a review by DelDOT. The scope of study was established jointly by both DelDOT and Newcastle County, and includes, if you can go to the first slide. Thank you. And includes six intersections along Kirkwood Highway and four intersections along Possum Park Road. We'll go to that slide. And for your orientation, Kirkwood Highway is east-west roadway. Possum Park Road is a north-south road, and the red dots indicate the intersections that were analyzed. The study included a review of the AM, PM, and Saturday midday peak hours, and an analysis was performed for the existing conditions as well as the future conditions, future with and without the project. The TIS was performed in accordance with the requirements of DelDOT, as well as an analysis was performed to determine whether these intersections meet the level of service criteria that is dictated by Newcastle County and its UDC. DLDOT, we submitted the analysis to DLDOT, the study. DLDOT conducted a thorough analysis of the TIS and found that the TIS was performed in accordance with its rules and regulations and also concurred with the recommendations of the TIS. DLDOT also indicated that all intersections, with the exception of the Kirkwood Highway, which is located right there, Kirkwood Highway and Possum Park Road, met the UDC level of service criteria. Carence's analysis found that extensive roadway improvements are necessary at the intersection of Possum Park Road and Kirkwood Highway to meet the level of service requirements of the UDC. And they include widening of the roadway to provide for adequate receiving lane, as well as widening of the roadway for turn lanes. And with the improvements that should be made and will be made, the intersection will operate at an adequate level of service, a level of service that is better than what currently exists at the intersection. Currently the intersection does fail. The evening peak hour is when the volumes of the intersection are the most, and improvements at the intersection will bring it back not only better than what is there, but it'll bring it to an acceptable level of service. In September 2011, DLDOT performed additional analysis to determine whether any traffic volumes have changed significantly to alter their recommendations from 2010, and found that the traffic volumes have not significantly improved, and therefore the recommendations and analysis that was performed earlier is still adequate. In conclusion, engineering analysis shows that the current deficiencies will be mitigated and traffic capacity will be improved at the intersection of Possum Park Road and Kirkwood Highway with the improvements that will be paid for and provided by my client. The concurrency standards of the UDC and as it relates to traffic will be met at the intersections included in the TIS with the recommended improvements. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
That's all we have.
Thank you.
Unless there's any questions.
Any questions?
I'm
Councilman Smiley and Councilman Wagner.
Yeah. I got an email earlier today about the traffic issue and nothing being done. So if you could just briefly go over what you did with us earlier, as in what road changes the $5 million would be funding, I'd appreciate it. That may allay some of the conversation that's going to follow you.
I think Mr. Sitterman would be best to address.
Yes, Councilman Smiley. Definitely I will be glad to elaborate. As I indicated, currently the intersection of Kirkwood Highway and Possum Park Road fails as a level of service F. There is going to be growth in background traffic volume as you go into the future, and definitely the project itself will contribute additional traffic to the intersection as well. But the improvements that are going to be made will include an additional left turn lane on eastbound Kirkwood Highway, turning onto northbound Possum Park Road, as well as a left turn lane that will be necessary for southbound Possum Park Road, because there is quite a bit of heavy traffic volume on Possum Park Road turning onto eastbound Kirkwood Highway. So there will be turn lanes added on Possum Park Road. In addition, because we will have two left turn lanes, currently the length of the left turn lane, even though DLDOT recently increased the length with improvements that they made in 2012, it's still not adequate, and sometimes that left turning volume, currently this is left turning volume or cars that are stacked over here, spill over and block the through traffic. So what we are recommending is a second turn lane that will provide for additional capacity, and also additional widening on Possum Park Road that will be able to receive those two turn lanes. To make those improvements, there is, I believe it is Middle Run goes through the site, and there are bridges. There is a bridge on Possum Park Road, as well as a bridge on Kirkwood Highway that will have to be widened. So part of those improvements involve widening of the bridges. Improvements include widening of Possum Park Road, widening of Kirkwood Highway. Now, I indicated there is going to be an additional turn lane on Possum Park Road. That will require widening on the east side of Kirkwood Highway to receive those turn lanes as well. So that is going to be necessary. And as part of these, part of the analysis that we will go move forward with LDOT, we're going to, we will be reviewing the requirements for the length of the turn lanes and the required length of lanes to store those vehicles will be made.
Thank you.
Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Retta.
Thank you. Mr. Siram and Council, thank you for sending the voluminous information. I enjoyed reading it, and I appreciate your attentiveness to the questions that I and other council members raised.
You're welcome, sir.
There will need to be a triple left turn lane from Kirkwood Highway on to Possum Park Road?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And will there need...
From Possum Park Road to Kirkwood Highway.
There will be a triple lane from Possum Park Road onto Kirkwood Highway.
Yes, sir.
Takings, will it impact any existing structures?
We have evaluated the right-of-way. That was one of the questions that was asked last time. The right-of-way on Kirkwood Highway east of Possum Park Road, Mr. Chilka has done an analysis of what the right-of-way is. It's 110 feet,
yes,
which would be able to accommodate the necessary widening that is that will be required, because we are looking at four lanes east, westbound, and three lanes eastbound. So that's a total of seven at 12 feet each. That's about 84 feet of physical paving, and the right-of-way is 110 feet. So we believe that we can accommodate the physical pavement within the right-of-way. Mm-hmm. Of course, there will be utilities and sidewalks adjacent to it, and we will have to figure those. We will have to accommodate those as well. We believe that the right-of-way is adequate. Right-of-way exists currently to be able to make that. Accommodate the additional widening that we need, which is really an additional 12 feet in the eastbound direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're familiar with the new proposed DLRT regs, which may, in fact, institute a TOA or traffic operational analysis. Would your project be grandfathered, such as a TIS would apply, or would it still be would it be subject to the TOA analysis? I know you addressed it both ways in your correspondence.
My understanding is that this would be considered a TIS, because originally when we analyzed it as a TOA, there was an option of this project being processed as a redevelopment plan, mm-hmm. and when that did not materialize, it automatically fell into the category of a TIS, and therefore required the concurrency standards that have to be met because of that.
Mm. And you're referring to a legislative change by this body in July of 2011?
I don't know if that's related to the redevelopment.
Well, that's I withdraw the question.
Okay.
In terms of satisfactory level of operation, thank you for submitting your X sub C vector breakdown. It's an average, of course, of all the movements, with 1.0 being the desired line and at LOSD at its lowest level of D, and then so you want to get an average. Everything below 1.0 is is a higher level than the lowest level D, and everything below 1.0, of course, is a level of E or level of F. Since it's an average, there still is a turning vector or two, which will be in LOS E and LOS F. I want to make sure that I read it correctly. Would you enumerate which turning vectors would still be in LOS E or LOS F?
I can take a look at that.
Has to be the one.
Are they for the existing conditions or the
no? After improvements.
After improvements. Okay.
Yes. Now this is all privately funded by the developer.
That is correct.
Not dependent upon any appropriation by the state of Delaware.
No, sir.
Right, and that's what I'm looking for.
The PM, as I indicated, the PM peak hour is the hour where you have the most volumes. So I'm going to take a look at that.
Yes, that's the most limiting factor.
Rather, that is the most limiting, correct. Mm-hmm. As you indicated, the XFC is provided for the overall intersection, which is 0.8.
And we're talking about Possum Park and
Possum
Kirkwood.
Park, the intersection of Kirkwood Highway and Possum Park Road. This is for the PM. That's pre-development. I'm sure to look for the post-development, which is with the with the project. X sub C is a 0.94 average, and there are individual lane groups that are at a level of service F. However, the overall level of service is...
Yeah, I'm aware. If you could just enumerate the turning vectors that would be below 1.0.
That would be the eastbound left turn.
From
Possum Park Road, eastbound, that would be Kirkwood Highway, left turns from eastbound Kirkwood Highway. So even with the widening, there is going to be delays for the left turning traffic from Kirkwood Highway to Possum Park Road.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember, that's on page 52 or 53. Was that LOS E or LOSF?
That lane group, the left turn lane group in particular, if you drill it down,
yes.
The left turning lane group is a level service F.
Yes.
The same, most of the left turns are will experience delays. The westbound left turns? The westbound left turns?
Yes.
Will experience delays as well.
And would that be LOS C or F?
That's a level service F. And the northbound movements, which is the movements out of the Liberty Plaza Shopping Center?
Yes.
Will be a level of service F and a level of service E. The left turn volumes from Possum Park Road onto Kirkwood Highway will also be a level of service F. However, you know, when you look at the same vectors and the same movements before the improvements, they're operating at a level of service that is worse than without the improvements. So when I say it's operating at a better level of service,
yes.
Overall, it's operating at a better level of service.
Yeah, I understand.
Because you're considering average
traffic volumes. Correct. And yes. A lot of times people don't understand that, so I just thought it was important to get on the public record. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Right. Councilman Greta.
Thank you. While we're on the subject of Possum Park and Kirkwood Highway, how far back, going west, is the road improvement for the widening going to be? And which side of the road, north or south?
Councilman, there is going to be widening on both sides because there is going to be a turn lane that is going to, it's a right turn lane into the shopping center.
On the north side. What I'm referring to is on the Kirkwood Highway itself, where the bridge is there, right, going west, how far back from the intersection in length is the widening going to be?
We expect to go to the bridge or start at the bridge, and which is right there, right at the end of the property. Is where the bridge starts. You can see the change in the color of the paving. So essentially the widening is going to be from up to that point.
And how wide is that going to be?
At the bridge itself, we'll bring it back to where, you know, the cut.
Yeah, but how wide?
Current.
How much?
And then
property.
Right, and then over here, it'll be 12 feet of widening on the south side, 12 feet of widening on the north side. So there will be three lanes, which is 36 feet on the north side. You'll have two through lanes and a right turn lane.
Right. The reason why I'm asking is because there was improvements on that road before, and they've taken some property. I believe it was an Arby's or a restaurant there. Now, if you take 12 feet.
Wendy's.
Fast food place. If you take 12 feet, that's going to take part of their parking away. Now, what do? Do they come back to us and ask us for relief? Now you got the liquor store on the other side where the bridge is, and that's almost right on the road. Now, what happens there? Do they come back and ask for relief, too? Where are they going to park? And then you have Perkins there also. There's not going to be any parking. What happens?
Councilman Redda is on the east side, past the intersection, and that's where I indicated there is 110 feet on the east side. On the west side, we have frontage along that section of the roadway that needs to be widened. So if there is any widening that is necessary that impacts the property, we will have to move the widening over to the north side, which is...
So that means the other business is going to go, too?
We'll have to move the whole, you know, the widening on the north side where we have, where we control the right-of-way.
There's a nursery there, right?
That's right.
Please refrain from public comment.
I just wondered, all these small businesses there, that they're going to get impacted. And that's what we're promoting in the state, trying to get small businesses back into the area so we can have some employment. Other than big box stores. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Please refrain from comment and applause. Please respect the institution. Yes, Councilman Powers and Councilman Tackett.
How wide is that bridge?
I believe the bridge has two through lanes each way and a shoulder or area next to it for pedestrians.
It's not a real wide.
I do not know the details of the bridge.
I guess just you're going to run three lanes into two right there. I mean, partly going back to what Councilman Redda said, is it doesn't seem like you're going very far down the road past that bridge, and narrow up through there.
Yeah, we're not going to go past the bridge. All the widening will stop at the bridge, so we're not going to do anything to the bridge itself.
I went through there last week a couple times. I mean, I used to live up that way, but it's a lot of traffic, and you're saying then all the 24 foot's going to come off of your side along Kirkwood Highway?
Mm-hmm. If that is necessary. I don't know exactly where the right of way is on the south side, but that might be necessary is what I'm saying. When I indicated that there is going to be a widening of bridge, I was talking about the bridge on Middle Run itself.
I understand.
Not the White Clay Bridge. Which
I guess
is
we're wondering why you're not widening the bridge that takes most of the traffic. The other thing, I asked about the right of way. I wanted to know what the right-of-way was on the west side of Possum Park. And how much right-of-way is there?
80 feet is what I'm...
80 feet from the center?
From, no, wide. That's 40 feet.
Yeah, what is it from the center?
40 feet on each side.
But, I mean, right now, I think the right-of-ways are almost straight on the edge because the sidewalk isn't even there. There's a sidewalk comes in,
right.
Then it jumps right out on a fence that goes up the rest of the way. I think I said last week, I saw them working on utilities probably in the past year, and they're almost right on the curb, the utilities. Now, you're saying all of it's going to go on the Wendy's side. There's, you know, kind of what Councilman Redder was saying. You know, we're promoting small businesses. We're not trying to get rid of small businesses. And I just don't see the right-of-way. You know, that business is going to be impacted if you take anything off that side.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I echo a lot of the sentiments that my co-chair, Retta, said. And for Mr. Sitaram, on your presentation up there, just for a little bit more clarification on your red dots, this one is a little bit smaller. Is there a reason for that?
It's just a site access. It's a new intersection that is going to be created. It does not exist there.
So you've got three here.
Those are
technically you have two.
Existing, correct, sir.
And how come you only have two here? That one doesn't exist yet.
That does not exist, correct. You're right.
Let's use my pointer. Mine's bigger. This one doesn't exist yet, so you only have two here, and then you have one, two, three, and then you have this way outlined
one. Yeah, right.
That's right. I'm just trying to realistically correlate how come we've got four, really two, and three. Yes,
sir. Those were the intersections that were scoped out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. President. Just
Councilman Sheldon.
Sorry, I hate to keep him up there, but Mr. Tack and Mr. All three councilmen took a little bit of what I wanted to say, which is good and answered. But I see the two dots getting away from Possum. We already know it's still going to be a level E at the best. That's what I heard. And correct me if I'm wrong. Even with the three turn lanes that go into the sidewalk and hit Arby's. The other two, I see you studied. And I was wondering if they passed. But if you go up a little bit further, which I know very well, Polly Drummond, Ridmill, Crookwood Highway, which is a major intersection, I don't see any red dots there. But yet I see one, it looks like it goes all the way to Paper Mill Road, I think, looking at it. So you went from a stretch there that's kind of like least traveled, but you didn't go to the east side on of Crookwood Highway from Possum Park Road. I was wondering if that was your choice, Del Dot's choice, or what made you not study those intersections. And where Delaplane Manor is, what level of service was that? If you can answer.
Yes sir. First, I'll talk about the level of service. Level of service is a level service D.
When done.
It's not E. Yeah, it's okay. A level service E, which is the UDC criteria for level of service requirement.
All right.
So I want to clarify that first. The level of service analysis is a complicated analysis that traffic analysis requires that you share a certain amount of green time with all the movements that are around the intersection. And when we perform this analysis, the methodology or in reality, the situation is that the minor street movements, in this case, Possum Park Road, and some of the minor streets, minor movements, which are the left turn movements, will get the minimum green. And that is the reason why it moves into a level of service E or a level of service F. But the heavier movements, which are the through movements on Kirkwood Highway itself, do operate at better than what they existed without those improvements. So you get an average delay through the intersection, which then drops.
I guess my question is, I just cut to the chase. When you get to Delaplane Manor, To get into the apartment, you have to wait now, and sometimes you're on Kirkwood Highway as you make that left.
Delaplane Manor would...
So what would you do to that intersection?
Delaplane, we would bring the traffic back before we hit Delaplane Manor, and we did analyze Delaplane Manor, and that, I can tell you what the level of service is at that intersection.
And again, I can't emphasize enough where Red Mill Poly Drummond Road is. It's probably the fifth or ninth worst intersection in the state of Delaware. I cannot see how it gets any better, especially in the morning time. But we're definitely in the nighttime, because from All Saints Cemetery all the way down to Possum Park is a nightmare at 4:30 on.
Yeah, the Delaplane Manor intersection on Kirkwood Highway operates at level of service D in the AM and at level of service C in the PM on Saturday. So that is
Saturday.
And with the project, with the Newark Town Center traffic included. With regard, another question that you had was with regard to the scope and how come we went that far up north
right.
on Pass Park Road and limited it to there. The scope of study is established jointly, you know, between DelDOT and Newcastle County. Mm-hmm. So
the state tells you that's where to go.
The state and the county jointly tell us, you know, that's where you stop, and those are the intersections that you look at.
All right.
We don't pick and choose.
Okay, that's fine. That's it.
Anything else, Mr.?
No, I'm fine for right now.
Yeah. All right.
The only thing I could say is if this, for some reason, did pass, Mr. Abbott, would you consider changing the name of it? This was given to me. The Newark Town Center, as you would know, is not in the city limits. The Newark Town Center, just like Centerville. And they're saying there could be some confusion. This is from the city of Newark, the Mayor Fong, City Council. It's kind of a little bit of a joke.
A year ago. It was easier to pronounce than Stopira.
Okay. Centerville was easy,
we're not,
too, though.
We're not wed to Newark Town.
You know, that was kind of easy, too.
And as you know, Councilman, you name the plan, you name the shopping center more or less what you want for marketing purposes.
Okay, it's just
purposes.
A little bit of a joke.
You want my suggestion?
we have two more councilmen have questions, and we need to move on.
Okay.
We have other people who need to speak. Councilman Smiley, then Councilman
White. I was suggesting on a name change, but I'll hold it for right now for Councilman Sheldon's sake. I just want to... We had a very good presentation at land use, and Councilman Weiner raised a very important issue. And I just got to be clear with you right now. I understand you're improving an intersection that, quite honestly, currently is in failure, and will continue to be in failure if you don't build.
Correct.
Now I understand overall it's going to improve.
Yes.
It's a level F in the turn lanes. And it will continue to be a level F, but it'll be a better.
Correct.
So,
in certain movements.
Now look, I'm trying to clarify something here. So, you know, if you want to laugh, you can save, get your 3 minutes. I don't want to be rude, but bottom line is, I guess I'm putting it in my report card language. Right now I'm sitting with an F minus. I got a chance of getting an F plus. It's still an F, and I'm still failing.
Well, no, you're going from an overall intersection level of service F.
I understand.
To an overall... service level D. So you're now passing because the UDC traffic concurrency requirements mandate, and of course we can't get building permits or certificates of occupancy until the roads have been improved, so it's a sure thing. And just the same as the plan tonight with the UDC is what you see, what you get rezoning. That plan is wed and attached at the hip to the rezoning. So there's really no ifs, ands, or buts. The project works. It complies with all drainage traffic and other impact requirements of the UDC. And as I said, I think in one of the communications members of council, the UDC, when it was created, was intended to avoid adverse impacts. So to get to this stage, you've had planners and reviewers evaluate those technical issues, and you can rest assured that this will not have any adverse impacts.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Councilmember Weiner.
Yes, I'll be brief.
Councilmember Powers, did you have your hand up?
I did.
And then Councilmember Bell.
Thank you.
In that order.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Abbott, you're correct, and I know a lot of folks don't understand that the overall level service doesn't necessarily indicate the fact that some movements which are in failure will still be in failure after the improvements. Those movements which are in failure by DLDOT's standard and by the MOU will be no worse and might be better. So if it's an F minus, it still might be an F minus. If it's an F plus, it might be an F minus or an E. So I concur with you. It's just important for the public and members of council to understand the turning movement. The other thing I wanted to say is that you were correct, Mr. Sideron was correct, and that is that the TIS methodology requires a minimum of three intersections out. However, as we know, during the scoping letter, additional intersections could be added even if it's a TIS. So in that regard, whether it's a TOA or a TIS, it sort of resembles each other.
Right, and I think just to clarify, Mr. Sidaram said the movements that would be in E or F after the improvements are completed and the project is fully built out will be better than they are today. And, of course, the other key to that is LOS is not some academic exercise. It actually reflects convenience for the motoring public and safety. Safety, most important of all.
Yeah, the only thing
they will be safer. The intersection will operate
more
safely.
The only thing that I would quibble with is that it's safe for cars. It's not necessarily safe for pedestrians. And that's a fair concern for me.
I know that's your concern, and I'm surprised you didn't ask about sidewalks, but I was going to note, just in a touche moment, that
yes,
you are getting a TIS before the rezoning vote with this one.
Yes, I am, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner, Mr. Powers, and then Mr. Bell and Mr. Cartier.
I've got a couple questions. One, just to remember, what's the AM and PM times for the TIS for the levels?
You mean the peak hours?
Yeah.
What AM and PM?
What you were giving earlier.
At the Kirkwood Highway, Possum Park Road intersection, or I guess it's.
I mean, what Councilman Sheldon was asking, you gave numbers at AM, PM,
and Saturdays.
And Saturdays.
You want the exact times, the peak hours.
That was one thing. The other thing is you said you're going to put a deed restriction on the rest of it for single family homes. How does that fit into the TIS?
Well, the I'll address the deed restriction. There's no development proposed for the other 116 acres. We're just carving that off. That will remain undeveloped.
I understand.
At such point as we come back to propose development with single-family detached homes, there would have to be a TIS if the project exceeds the whatever the minimum UDC requirements are. It probably would, because I think it would generate enough peak hour trips and there's enough traffic volume. As I said, Possum Park Road's 15,000 vehicles per day. Kirkwood Highway is 30. So I think there would be a TIS required, but it depends on how many units are proposed. If there's 50 single-family detached residential homes, that's kind of the cusp. You're therefore close. If it's more than 50, you're going to be over the threshold, and you definitely would have to do a TIS. But regardless, the traffic issue will be addressed if and when the other 116 acres is proposed to be developed in the future.
Looking at that picture, that's the only piece that's left there because the rest is middle run, you know, of open
Correct.
Ground looking up through there.
But again, if you see the forested area that's closest to Ridgewood Glen and Creek Bend, sort of to the left or the west, those are in the city of Newark. The White Clay Creek is the city line approximately in that area. But those two communities will continue to enjoy all of that forested buffer because it's a critical natural area, it's mature forest, it's, I can't remember how many different resource overlays are on that area, so the protection level is pretty close to 100%.
There's a big area that's young forest too, though.
That's right. Well, and that's why I think, if you recall last week, Councilman, I pointed out that the area of the site this area of the site closest to Possum Park Road is where you would see most of the residential, or basically all of the residential development, because once you get back.
Right in there, it's young forest, too.
In this area here? This is cleared farmland up here. This is probably young forest in there.
And it's young forest on the other side of the branch.
Of the stream, of the Blue Line stream that goes through there? Yeah. And again, so there may be development, say, in this rectangle approximately, about 50 acres, and then all this other 66 acres that runs along the White Clay Creek and is heavily wooded and forested and provides a buffer for the city of, from the city of Newark subdivisions, that's going to undoubtedly remain the same because UDC resource protection level standards mandate it.
Half of that area is young forest that you're circling. Let's get the answer. We'll worry about that later.
Thank you, Councilman.
I just want to get the answer on
that. Good answer.
Councilman Powers, I don't have the exact 1 hour, but it was between 7 and 9 in the morning and 4 to 6 in the afternoon. And on Saturday, 11 to 2.
Depends when it was run.
Thank you, Councilman Powers. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. The TIS was completed in what year?
The TIS was submitted to DLDOT in 2010, sir. Completed and submitted to DLDOT in 2010. The counts were originally done at the end of 2007, and then the study was submitted in 2010.
Well, that's where my question takes us, is that if you had a traffic impact study based on traffic in 2007 and even revised in 2010, but the consideration of traffic impact was 2007 and we're 6 years later, I just heard 15,000 vehicles on Possum Park Road. That's now. What is the increase with the proposal here?
After the planning board public hearing, that very question came up as to whether the traffic counts are still relevant. And DLDOT actually did their own counts in 2011. I believe it was September of 2011, and then wrote its findings to Newcastle County and indicated that the traffic volumes had not really changed significantly over the duration. They were more focused on the intersections, not on the.
But I heard 15,000 on Possum Park Road, and wasn't it twice the amount?
30,000
on Kirkwood Highway, and I'm relating to a 2007 study revised by DLDOT as far as 2011, and that's still a couple years ago. And what concerns me is we have an intersection that you're talking about improvements and still with some failure, but improved. And with that volume of traffic currently today, what is the increase in traffic projected to be?
When we do the future traffic volumes, DLDOT provides us the growth rate, yearly growth rate that we have to apply, and we did apply a growth rate to come up with the future volumes.
So what is that number?
I don't have the highway. I have the intersections, particular intersections.
So the intersection is how many vehicles?
It's about 2% per year is their projected increase. Okay.
So that's a guesstimate.
That's actually DLDOT's numbers.
DLDOT's 2% increase.
DLDOT tells you this is the yearly growth rate that you have to apply to the traffic counts.
And being very familiar with the area and travel the area quite often, you know, we have an intersection now that we've improved somewhat, but it's still not the greatest. And we're going to take an increase in traffic impact above 15,000, 30,000. And take it from the improved area down to a very limited bridge and very heavily traveled and congested highway all the way into Newark and to the east. So I'm sitting here thinking in my mind, is it improving, but improving to turn at the intersection, but where does everybody go after they turn at the intersection? Because traffic during peak times of the day not only don't you move, it gets kind of crazy. And so, I mean, I'm just kind of wondering why, you know, with DelDOT, as you're looking at 2007, they come back 2011, we're 2013, and it's not given me the numbers that I can look at it other than 2% increase. And, you know, some level of efficiency to the intersection, quite simply, I don't think under DelDOT standards to the intersections, I don't think it goes far enough, and I don't think it shows us the impact on the roadways going to the west and the east concern.
Thank you, Councilman Bell, Councilman Cartier, and Councilman Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have, as I relay my comments, I don't have any particular questions. I just want to focus my comments on the composition of development that is in the region here, the scale of the development that's in the region, and why this proposal, you know, gives me a lot of troubles me, because when you look at the section provided by the engineering consultant in the area, what you have is small commercial and office sites along the Kirkwood Highway with some dense residential areas adjacent or very close, backed up by various sorts of residential development. So people in this area can, you know, get their daily needs met by going to these small shopping centers. We also have a school in the area, which also services the needs of the community. And what this proposal essentially is to put an extremely large, out-of-scale shopping center in the midst of this already built area with a composition development, as I just laid out. And I think that's deeply troubling just from a community design standpoint. Other members of council are laying out all the traffic issues, but for me, it's quality of life and the character of the area. And I think the character of this is so out of sort, that's why we have all the people that are here. And but I mean, honestly, I think this could have been designed far better, and we could have avoided a lot of this and come to some consensus. I just feel that it's out of character, it's out of size, it'll have adverse impacts that flow from that. I think the team has done an excellent job laying out the case for their applicant and their highly skilled professionals, but I just don't. I'm very troubled by the scale of this and how out of context it really is.
Thank you, Councilman. Please. Please, 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 please. I know this is a sensitive issue, but let us refrain from clapping so we can move forward. Let me say that we have to be out of here at 10:45 because the garage closes at 11. And I parked in the garage. You clap on that. Very seriously, we want to hear from
Mr. President.
Sheldon.
I just wanted one question from Dave Culver, and then I'll be done questioning.
You want to bring him now?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Dell, you have a question with that
of Mr. Culver?
All right.
Yeah.
This will be. Any other councilman have any questions after Mr. Culver, Councilwoman, and why? And then we're going to release them and move to the community voice. Mr. Culver, welcome.
Good evening.
Mr. Culver, the question I have is land use itself denied all five characteristics, every one of them, consistency and so forth. Every criteria, there's five of them. Mr. Abbott, had it consistent with the zoning. He's saying you're wrong. It consistency with the character of the neighborhood. He says you were wrong, not you personally. Land use was wrong. It does have a negative impact. He says, no, you were wrong. Five say, you know, one says five yeses and land use says five noes. Can you give your point of view, or land use's point of view, why you came up with a decision for a negative recommendation? on those five things?
Well, again, the recommendation itself isn't a yes or no criteria. The department is charged with going through those standards of the code and seeing how that plan matches up to those various standards. As we go through that, and you would see in each section, we do a very careful analysis of how this plan fits within the comprehensive plan. At the time, the 2007 comprehensive plan would be basically the same as the 2012. And we make that analysis based off those criteria. As we did the analysis on those criteria, we come to the conclusion that the project as proposed did not meet those criteria in general, and it was not a plan that fit the community. And that was our recommendation for denial. As you go through the entire report, it's just not the criteria. We go through the analysis, we go through the testimony, we go through what the applicant submitted. We have a very careful deliberation beyond with our staff members in the planning section to determine the consistency and so forth of those criteria, and then we make that recommendation to the planning board. Then the planning board also has further deliberations on that recommendation, and then they can either vote to concur, they can write their own report, they can recommend something differently. In this case, after we did the analysis of the site and information presented based on the five standards, we concluded that we do not believe that this rezoning fits with the comprehensive plan and the criteria in Chapter 40. And that was our conclusion for recommending denial. This is a recommendation to this body. So right or wrong, everybody's going to have a different opinion on when you do the analysis. What is your conclusion on the analysis? Obviously, there was a lot of talk about comparing this to the rest of Kirkwood Highway all the way down to Ellesmere. Not a lot of discussion of comparing this from Possum Park Road into the city of Newark. We obviously didn't think that this was the part of Kirkwood Highway that would be generally characterized as you would see from, say, Midway Shopping Center into Ellesmere. This was a different area. It's a different transitional character. This is the last piece of land zoned residential in this area of this size. This certainly could, as a by-right plan, propose a residential development. A rezoning is not a by-right plan. We review the plan to make sure that plan does meet the criteria if it is rezoned, and in this case, we didn't feel that it did.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to get the differences on record, why one says it is and one says not, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Many of the questions that Councilman Sheldon just asked was where I was going as far as the criteria, but I guess I would ask if land use, very familiar with White Clay Creek and also the fact that when we have torrential rains and sometimes severe storms that White Clay Creek itself does cause flooding and does impact neighboring properties. I know from the fire department standpoint that in years past, we've actually done swift water rescue in that particular White Clay Creek of folks that don't understand how severe it gets when it's flooding. So, this project here, how does this impact, the White Clay Creek and the swales and the particular property? Did we take a look at that as far as this? The surface and everything, how it would affect nearby, tributaries?
Right, there's a couple issues. One is, what is the criteria for the rezoning? And one is, if it is rezoned, will it then meet all the other concurrency requirements of the UDC? So on the concurrency side, if this was to be rezoned, it would have to meet all the traffic standards that we've been discussing here over the past 45 minutes. It would still have to meet all the state and county stormwater regulations. So the pre and the post, the discharge and so forth would have to be shown on that plan before it would come back to ever be recorded. So on that standpoint, there would be no additional adverse impacts directly related to it because all that management would have to be done on site as part of the planning process. That would all be done during the site construction engineering, which would be further along in this process. Now, we are aware of the flooding problems in there, and that would certainly be something that we would examine once we got to that point. We're also aware of a lot of state and county efforts to preserve the White Clay Creek area and the purchase of those lands. And that all goes into the consideration of how to get a record plan approved. In this immediate case, we're looking at what was being proposed and how is that consistent with this neighborhood and this area. And again, we came to that same conclusion. But as far as concurrency, once we got beyond that point, this plan would have to be 100% code compliant.
Thank you.
Mr. President, am I next on the agenda here to ask a question, Mr. Culver?
One question, please.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Statement and a question. David, thank you for bringing comment on the record concerning the 5UDC rezoning standards, which are the only relevant inquiry, and I think all of us can agree to that and limit our comments to those legal points. One matter that bothers me is the lack of pedestrian friendliness, both at the site and to the existing residential communities across the street, notwithstanding the fact that sidewalks are required. Now, the shopping center specific plan was recommended against. That doesn't mean that the land use department would recommend against another plan that might have maybe some commercial on the frontage and mixed use pedestrian friendly with residential in the back end, or what would you envision then that might have satisfied the department's concerns?
Well, I think as you have been through the report, as you go through the report, we do discuss that this is a transitional piece of property. This is a piece of property that would be a transition from what you see on Kirkwood Highway into the city of Newark and going up Possum Park Road. We thought that the intensity of the property was pretty great for what was being proposed. I don't necessarily think that if you put a regional shopping center in, that you would turn around and put single-family homes next to it. You'd probably want to see a different transitional type of development. So if this was something as a pedestrian-friendly village or something with, you know, a mixture of commercial, office, residential, it may fit that transitional district that we would see here. This is a CR-requested parcel. Typically, when you see CR, it's commercial regional. It's not neighborhood-friendly. It's not something that would be your mom-and-pop type store that you would walk to. This is going to be something that drives regional traffic to this area. So obviously, when you see that, you're not going to see a lot of the pedestrian-friendly amenities that we would simply see in, like, say, a commercial neighborhood district or in a village or a hamlet. That would be something that we would also look at. But a mixed-use project or something along those lines could be something that would fit the character of the area and would be a good transitional piece. And I think in our report, we took a lot of careful language to say that we recognize this is a transitional piece of land. It's zoned S. That's low-density residential, and they're going from this very low residential density to a very intense use, and it just didn't fit. Could other proposals be created on this property that would be better fit? Absolutely. And I think when we heard the various community groups speak, they also talked about that transitional nature of this property, and that there could be some discussions where we could do focus groups on this and come up with a plan that would have that type of mixture. But this is a very intense commercial proposal that just seems to be out of character with what we did our analysis on. But we do recognize that this is a transitional piece of ground.
Thank you for your very helpful comments.
Thank you, Mr. Councilman. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I was looking at the five criteria that we obviously need to look at, consistency and character of the neighborhood drew me back to parcel view. And in my looking at this, if I look at Kirkwood Highway and I'm looking within this area, I'm finding CN and I'm finding CR, but I'm finding them in very, very small parcels. I'm finding them in 0.79, 0.92, you know, the liquor store, the drive-through restaurant. I'm not finding 55 acres of open space that faces Kirkwood Highway in this area. As saying that, I'm believing that this orientation is not to Kirkwood Highway. This orientation is to Possum Park Road. The full access intersection is on Possum Park Road, which is the smallest two-lane road. When you get to Kirkwood Highway, you've got a right in and right out, if I'm remembering this correctly. So I'm thinking that if I have to look at that character of the neighborhood here, my character is more on Possum Park, as that is the main entrance to this proposed development, and I'm not seeing that fits. If this was a more narrow, long development with all its access off of Kirkwood Highway, I could understand that we could say that fit the character of the neighborhood. But with the full access being off of Possum Park, I just don't see how that works.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think when you go to E, within a recommendation report on page 10, we do go into that analysis of looking at the other shopping centers, and to get something of this magnitude, you probably have to go all the way to Price's Corner.
Any other questions for Mr. Culver? Thank you, Mr. Culver.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott, and your team. Next. Welcome, please. State your name for the record, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of council, members of council, ladies and gentlemen. Could we see the first slide, please? Welcome to the Stapara Tract. That is a Stapara Tract today. My name is David Arn. I've lived just off Possum Park Road for 42 years. Next slide, please. Do not be confused by my accent. I'm what I call American by choice, and so I vote. I'm the board president of Citizen Advocacy Possum Park Area, better known as CAPA, an independent membership umbrella civic association founded in 1985. We're concerned with the area northeast of New York surrounding Possum Park Road. Our motto has always been favoring sensible land use. Next slide. This is an aerial view of the CAPA area bounded by Paper Mill Road to the west, Polydrome and Renmore Roads to the east, and the CSX Railroad to the south. The area is clearly dominated by low to medium density residential developments and dedicated open space. There is no large commercial anywhere near. Next slide. The Department of Land Use and the Planning Board have already separately recommended denial of the rezoning request, decisions with which we agree. There have been three earlier attempts to rezone this tract to commercial use, and all have failed. The most significant being the 1990 unanimous rejection by County Council. Next slide. We will refer to two what we believe to be relevant sections of the Newcastle County Unified Development Code. The first, at the top, emphasizes the overall role of the UDC in protecting the health, safety, convenience, general welfare, and quality of life for all present and future residents of Newcastle County. The second we've heard about speaks directly to the standards to be met for rezoning map. Next slide. For professional guidance, we have referred to this publication by the Urban Land Institute, the fourth edition of Retail Development. Urban Land Institute is an internationally recognized program. On page 71, it cites 12 analyses to be undertaken in the evaluation of possible sites. We show only half of these. None of them are satisfied for this site, and nor are several of the remainder. For now, we consider the first, a central location for targeted markets. Next slide. This map is a population density map of northwest Newcastle County produced from the 2010 federal census. Light areas are low density, darkest areas high density. The Stapara Tract, which is here, is surrounded to north, east, and west by large swathes of dedicated open space, some with zero population. White Bay Creek State Park, Middleland Natural Area. Can I keep going? Thank you. The dense population areas to the south of White Bay Creek are cut off from the site by two railroads and the White Bay Creek itself, with direct access primarily via two-lane bridges and underpasses along Redmore Road. Next slide. This comes from the same reference site above, in reference to qualifications and analyses for a commercial regional center. If the site fails to qualify based on these analyses, the developer should acquire another site or abandon the development. In addition to being less competitive, the creation of a shopping center in an inappropriate greenfield location potentially contributes to sprawl, unnecessary traffic congestion, and environmental degradation. So in summary, we leave with these thoughts. Thank you.
You all getting better on the clapping. Thank you. Next, please. Please remind me of 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of County Council, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carol O'Donnell.
Michael.
I've lived in...
Speak into the mic, please.
Okay. I've lived in Chapel Hill for 33 years, and I've served on the CAPA board for the last 25 years. The topic of my presentation is community character. Since unanimous rejection by County Council of a similar regional commercial rezoning in 1990, the CAPA area has retained its residential institutional community character. Next. In fact, since that vote in 1990, the area has infilled with approximately 20 new single-family residential communities, six of those along Possum Park Road. Institutions along Possum Park Road include four places of worship, two schools, two daycare centers, a retirement home, and the Tri-State Bird Rescue. So even more so today than in 1990, the residential institutional community character remains intact. Next. What is the impact of the proposed rezoning? The magnitude of the proposed rezoning is an issue of concern. A 340,000 square foot regional shopping center on 55 acres would be a major commercial intrusion into an established residential community. For comparison purposes, the acreage of this rezoning approach is double that at the Pike Creek Shopping Center at 30 acres and the Price's Corner Shopping Center at 27 acres. An equally disturbing issue is the depth of the rezoning proposal. Next. This aerial view of Route 2 extending from Route 7 at the Midway Shopping Center to Newark shows commercial setbacks outlined in red. Non-commercial stretches are shown in yellow, which you will notice continue to the west of the East Pyrotech into Newark. With a depth of 2,000 feet from Route 2, almost one-third of a mile, the proposed shopping center far exceeds the depth of any of the commercial sites along Route 2, which typically are less than 500 feet in depth. Nowhere near the immediate vicinity of the Easter Pirate Track does existing zoning justify the magnitude and depth of the proposed regional commercial rezoning. And remember, the main entrance would not be on limited access highway, not on Route 2, but on two-lane Possum Park Road. Next. Additional issues, which later speakers will address, include significant increases in traffic on Capitol Trail and Possum Park Road, with more congested traffic for residents to crawl through. Extensive parking areas dominate the design of this so-called town center. Huge retaining walls and light intrusion further contribute to the negative visual impact. In conclusion, next. The magnitude and depth of the proposed shopping center are incompatible with the current low-intensity residential institutional character of our community, and the negative impact on the community character of the Possum Park area is unacceptable to area residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. My name is David Daugherty. I'm a member of the Windy Hills Civic Association, a resident of Windy Hills, and a member of CAPA. My topic this evening is the regional and local traffic access to the Stapire Track. I'll be covering a lot of some of the comments that some of the astute questions came out of the council were already raised, so just bear with me. Next slide, please. According to the Retail Development Handbook, the regional centers are customarily located at interchanges between highways and freeways in suburban areas. If the center is easily reached via freeway, travel times are reduced, congestion on local streets is minimized, and access for customers, employees, and service vehicles is more efficient. In all cases, the center should be highly visible. Next slide, please. In contrast, the Stapire Track on this slide shows the surrounding network of roads with the track shown in blue. This site is nowhere near a freeway or expressway. It's on two-lane Possum Park Road, which is accessed from an already congested Kirkwood Highway. And excuse me. And to the right, or heading east, is the fifth most congested roadway in Delaware. The state of Delaware, and to the west is the ninth most congested road segment in Delaware. All of these circled intersections at Possum Park, Red Mill, Cleveland Avenue are currently failing by Delgat standards. And to reach the site from any direction but from the north, you've got to go through two of these intersections. The traffic impact study for this project extended only to the first two intersections from here, which led to the minor intersections leading into residential neighborhoods with no through traffic, ignoring the surrounding problematic intersections. To eliminate this failing intersection at Possum Park and Route 2, the traffic impact study recommends a rare three-lane left-turn lane towards Wilmington, but how this three-lane intersection is going to merge into a two lanes on the fifth most congested segment of highway in Delaware, where there are no plans to widen it and continue into a failing intersection here, is a mystery. And yet, despite all these traffic concerns, the Newark Town Center will generate 15,000 to 20,000 more vehicles per day. Additionally, we've got Red Mill Road, which is constricted. It feeds the population centers to the south, where most of the population on David's slide was. It will feed the center. That's constricted by two-lane roads on Red Mill Road, by bridges under the railroad tracks and over the White Clay. So the increase in traffic would threaten the health, convenience, and quality of life of all the area residents, in addition to commuters and others traveling through the area. Next slide, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President, yes. Members of Council, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jim Doherty. I live in Chapel Hill. I've been a member of the Capitol Board for a couple of years, and I'll be speaking on the subject of topography this evening. May I have the first slide, please? Good evening. This site is bordered by the White Clay Creek and two of its tributaries. The White Clay passes under Kirkwood Highway's bridge here at Windy Hills. This is the Chapel Run, and this is the Middle Run. Here is the National Little League, and here is the Holy Answers Church and School. This entire site's built on the hillside. There's an 82-foot rise from Route 2 to the top of the area that's proposed for rezoning. That's as tall as an 8-story building, if you think about it. In order to level the site to an acceptable and safe grade, there will need to be a massive cut and fill operation. This will have a significant impact on the topography, groundwater recharge, and stormwater runoff. There will be a 20 to 25-foot deep excavation directly opposite Holy Angels. Along Route 2, there will be a 15 to 20-foot stone retaining wall holding back the tons of excavated material from the top of the site. It will run from Possum Park Road almost to the White Clay Creek. The entire site, in fact, will be surrounded by stone walls of various heights and depths, topped by an 8-foot safety fence. This stub road is useless because it faces a 20-foot terraced stone wall with a fence on top of it. A large parking lot will dominate the view from Possum Park Road with steep ramps at both entrances. The depth of the upper end of the and the elevation of the lower end will limit public visibility of the site, requiring intrusive large signs at both entrances to advertise its location. This project will replace at least 40 acres of existing permeable greenfield with 40 acres of impermeable surfaces, roofs, and parking areas. It is proposed to hold the resulting added stormwater flow in a 2-acre retention basin with a 5-foot berm here, just 100 feet from the White Clay Creek. It is not clear that this basin is adequate to hold the rainfall of up to 8 or 9 inches that we have experienced in recent tropical storms, raising the risk of downstream flooding. Remember that it took over $30 million taxpayer dollars to clean up Glenville, Newkirk Estates, and other areas after such storms. Next slide, please. In summary, we have a 50-acre greenfield site surrounded by a residential institutional area that would be heavily engineered and urbanized. Topographically, the site is not appropriate for the proposed use. The physical impact of the proposed center would adversely affect the quality of life of the area residents. Whatever is eventually developed on this sensitive site should be designed to fit the existing contours of the land, not destroy them. We urge you to deny the proposed rezoning. Thank you for your time.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Dave Depsky. Next slide, please. I've lived in the Possum Park area for 25 years and seen a lot of growth, residential, churches, and institutions. This growth was well planned and executed. The community, community character has been preserved. So I want to say thanks. You set forth a plan, you stuck to the plan, and our community has benefited. Please again stick to the plan and deny the Stapiro rezoning. There is no community need. We already have 5 million square feet of retail space within a 4-mile radius. Local shopping centers already have high vacancy rates. And there's already 2 million more square feet of retail capacity, zoned, unbuilt, and can be developed if needed. Next slide. Our community character and quality of life has been maintained through your adherence to the plan. We have excellent access to retail, neighborhood shopping, all well integrated into the community. Area shopping centers. These are located on 4-lane roads, not 2-lane roads like Possum Park. 1 mile away is Main Street, Newark. And lastly, major malls, where they should be, near major arteries for great access. Next slide. There are already high vacancy rates. Newark Shopping Center, 15-acre site, 1 mile away, 40% vacant. As you see here, there are other center vacancies, all sizes, big box properties, and other large vacant space available for redevelopment. Adding more retail will bring these other centers to complete vacancy, adding crime, destroying community character, increasing policing cost, and cannibalizing existing jobs. Next slide, please. Look at this example. College Square is a 41-acre site less than a mile and a half away. 50% of the stores are vacant. Big box sites and acres of empty space in the center ripe for redevelopment. Ruining a greenfield property like Stapiro will compromise redevelopment prospects for excellent sites like College Square and others. This will hurt our welfare and quality of life. Next slide, please. And you have already comprehensively planned for future growth. Here shows a variety of already zoned commercial properties, greenfield and redevelopment. You know these properties, over 2 million square feet, within 4 miles of our area. All of these sites have wide frontage on 4-lane roads for great access by the community. Next slide, please. So in summary, this area has benefited from your adherence to the comprehensive plan and strict adherence to it. We have an abundance of retail space now, actually an overabundance with high vacancies. You have already zoned commercial over 2 million feet of additional retail capacity for our growth. So please hold fast with the comprehensive plan. We do not need the precious Stapiro tract converted to retail. Thank you.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record, please.
Yes. My name is Peggy Conte. I'd like to say good evening, Mr. President, members of council, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peggy Conte, a 27-year resident of Chapel Hill and a Kappa board member. I'll be covering some potential alternative uses for this site in a brief summary of our presentation. We polled members for suggestions on how this property could best be used. Not surprisingly, the overwhelming majority would like absolutely nothing done to it. Realistically, however, we realize something will be done with the land eventually. A few alternatives which would be consistent with the current community character emerged. And these were state or parkland, continued farming, single-family homes, low density, for which it is currently zoned, and the idea of a continuous care retirement community, or CCRC. This is a facility on one campus which bridges the transitions from independent senior living through assisted living and then on to skilled nursing care. Living, dining, entertainment, healthcare, etc. are all available on site. There are none of these of any size in the Newark area. Could I have the next slide, please? As an example, we superimposed the layout of one highly successful one that's in Pennsylvania by the name of Jenner's Pond. And we put the existing floor plan, so to speak, on the Stapiro site. As you can see, it fits nicely within the confines of this area. It conforms to the land contours without massive earth movement or retaining walls. And importantly, unlike the invasive regional scale project being proposed, it represents a gradual, smooth, transitional usage to the residential area. as recommended by the Land Use Department. In this regard, I'd just like to point out, this is Chapel Hill. This is a section of Chapel Hill. You can see the proximity to the Stapira site. And that's what we're talking about in terms of a gradual transitional. They're proposing commercial regional right up against a residential. Next slide, please. Okay, there are several reasons a CCRC might be an asset on this site, and I'd like to highlight three of the ones that are listed here. It would be consistent with the current residential institutional character of Possum Park Road. It would have minimal impact on traffic. These households frequently have no car, and at most one. Rush hour is not a factor in this type of lifestyle community. In fact, rush hour coincides with meal times. And it preserves critical natural areas. Slide four, please. In summary, we feel that this regional shopping center project fails to meet community needs, is inconsistent with community character, as pointed out by the land use report. They feel that it would be undermined even more by the draw to a regional shopping center. It has an unacceptable impact on community quality of life. The land use report again states that any such impact should be minimal, and it points out that this is anything but. It has negative impact on Holy Angels Church and School, which you will hear more about. And we feel that any acceptable uses of this site should be explored, alternative should be explored to the shopping center. And whatever is developed on this site should follow the contours of the land, not destroy them. So in summary, we urge you to deny the requested rezoning, and this concludes the CAPA portion of the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, CAPA. Next, please. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening, Mr. President, county council members, and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mrs. Barbara Snively, and I'm principal of Holy Angels School. And with me is the very Reverend Art Fiore, who is the pastor of Holy Angels Church. We are located directly across from the proposed Stapira Tract site. And next slide, please. Holy Angels Church and School are strongly opposed to the rezoning due to the prospective change to the community character of the area, traffic impact, safety, security concerns, potential health issues, and noise issues. The main entrance to Holy Angels Church and School is at the blinking light, which would become the primary entrance to the proposed entry to the shopping center. There are very few, if any, elementary schools that are placed within a commercial area. Most exist in residential neighborhoods. Currently, Possum Park Road is a suburban road with a rural character. The parcel of land or campus of Holy Angels, next slide please, has been an attractive and positive marketing point for our school. In addition to receiving a quality education, parents like the pleasing campus venue and acreage for student activities and recess. An entrance to the Newark Town Center across from Holy Angels would negate one reason for having parents choose our learning facility. Next slide, please. Since we are a commuter school, there is no bus transportation. All children, 419 currently enrolled, are dropped off and picked up by individual automobiles. Since some students carpool, there are approximately 350 cars that enter and exit the parking lot from 7:35 a.m. to 8 a.m. and 3 to 3:15 p.m. At these times, the road is already congested. The additional traffic generated by the proposed development would result in gridlock and truly frustrate many parents. Many worship services and religious ed functions take place in the evenings and on the weekends. Again, the traffic impact would have a negative and adverse effect on the parishioners' attempts to enter and exit our facility. Next slide. The wide grassy median strip between our parking lot and Possum Park Road has no fence. If traffic were to get clogged, many people might be tempted to use the shoulder of our property, thus causing a safety issue for the children. Next slide. Since the aftermath of the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in December, tighter security measures are underway at our school as we speak for the protection of our students. The presence of a shopping center would only present more issues with potential loitering and crime. This would pose a huge problem and disastrous situation for marketing and enrollment. Many students are currently experiencing asthma and allergies. The presence of construction equipment would only further exacerbate their health issues. Since our school is only partially air-conditioned, windows will be open in summer and fall. Dust and vehicle construction residue would lend to further respiratory ailments for the children. Students would also be distracted by noise from increased cars and traffic on the road, along with the presence of equipment. Most of our primary classrooms directly face Possum Park. Teachers would not be able to instruct their students adequately while trying to compete with noise. Holy Angels urges you to respectfully to oppose the proposal for construction of a shopping center across from our school that prides itself in over 56 years of providing a safe and aesthetically pleasing venue for its children. Thank you.
Thank you.
It would be nice.
Next, please.
Thank you, members of City Council. And County Council President, congratulations, Seth.
Thank you. The point of information, this is County Council, not City Council.
Oh, County Council, my God.
And the...
We're in the city. I apologize.
We do have other state legislators who are here, Mr. Morrow, Mr. Ramon, Senator Sekola, and the gentleman at the mic. Let's recognize our other... elected officials, give them a hand. We'll get you next.
And you didn't mention that, Ruzinski?
We'll give Ruzinski next.
As long as I don't cut off my time.
All right.
Good evening. I'm State Representative John Kawaka, 25th District. I'm a former member of Windy Hills Civic Association, former resident, 23 years of Windy Hills, member of St. John Holy Angel Parish. And I have here tonight to convey the wishes of hundreds of my constituents, friends, and neighbors who object to this proposal. And a proposal that is unneeded, unwarranted, and ill-suited, a shopping center in a zoned area for low-density housing. Now, I'm here in spite of the fact that the attorney for the developer in an email said that, quote, about myself and my fellow legislators, giving a, quote, unquote, amen to blind opposition to score political points with constituents is fine. Elected officials are by their nature political animals. But make no mistake about it, that is all this is about. Well, the person knows who wrote this, so I won't embarrass him further. I have a sheet of emails that are very embarrassing. I just want to say, in my experience, 23 years in Windy Hills, I've witnessed almost a dozen times the White Clay Creek rising 6 feet above its bank, and then another 8 feet in the front played directly back of my house and other houses along North Dillon Road. Now, when I tell you rising above that floodplain, I'm talking about to the top step of a sliding board, which is 9 foot high. So you can imagine the impact. And no one sane would think there's not going to be an impact. Now, I know that this planning proposal does not address that impact, but no one sane is going to think that if you have an impervious surface, mitigating circumstance for that will be an increase in that flood. And that would be resulting in a buyout by that county had to do a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. That's very disturbing for me to see that the developers are not considering that, not to mention the fact of the character of that area. The character of that area is not strip mall city. It is a residential area. It's a pleasant area. And I just want to address what I think was brought up here. I wasn't prepared to address this, but I had a problem down there at the at 896 at Old Baltimore Pike. And quite frankly, it was predicated on the fact that DelDOT was in a dispute over how many intersections you had to move forward. When I hear the discussion that Redmill is not considered, that Cleveland Avenue is not considered, because of an archaic law, and I will be changing that law, because no one wants to take the responsibility for the reality that Rittenhill Road is horrible. And to say we're not addressing that we're doing some kind of a limited study, finite study, that we got a D at the intersection, not at the intersection still, but we have a D along the Thompson Park Road, that's ludicrous. And these points of contention to justify this project are, quite frankly, insulting to my constituents, to me, and to my colleagues.
Thank you, State Rep. Please refrain. Thank you. Thank you.
Question.
We have two questions before we entertain those questions. How many more speakers do we have?
I think it's easier to ask how many we don't have.
Let me, and you all make the decision. If we could kind of combine, if you could get one or two speakers, of course we want to hear from our state legislators, but other folks, Mr. Dunn and others, if you all could kind of caucus over there and make a vote who can speak, and I think we, because the garage closes in 45 minutes.
And your car's in it, right?
And my car's down, and somebody will give me a ride home.
Yeah.
Loading up. Huh?
And trust me, you ain't flagging a taxi in town tonight.
No, sir, brother. Councilman Smiley, Councilman White.
Yeah. Representative Kwaka.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you coming forward. I appreciate you and your colleagues showing up. And since you're the first one to speak, I'm going to pose this question to you, especially since also I happen to know since you've been in the state legislature, you've had no problem tackling the tough issues and going after them. I guess one of my concerns is all the emails I've gotten, I've got an in-depth study from the church, everything we hear tonight, is traffic, traffic, traffic. Somewhat concerns me, you know, we've got a developer here proposing to develop, but also proposing to fund $5 million worth of improvements to an intersection that apparently, from what I'm hearing, DelDOT has been sitting on a privately funded study since 2007 of what improvements need to be done. Are you and your other legislators going to be going, or have you gone to DelDOT to say, what are you going to do for this? Because whether this gets built or not, you and I both know the intersection is just going to keep getting worse and worse.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, proof of pudding, well over 10,000 times have I traversed that intersection. And I see the current problem in regards to DelDOT studies, which are not necessarily unflawed. And I believe that study in 2007 was for a proposal for this area to reconsider that. And not only is the count no longer valid, and that's a fact, but any of these situations that have developed there have to be remediated. And by remediation, I mean not just extending that concrete left-hand turn lane that they did recently. We have to do more than that. And I certainly will, and I believe my colleagues will support me in this, we will try to address that. If this proposal is turned down, we will certainly try to address that situation to make it clear for the traffic comes through. It is a madhouse. And
my concern is, as Councilman Sheldon said, he's got the 9th District here. I imagine we got quite a few police officers in the 9th District on property checks tonight, but he's got the 9th District here. Well, all we're hearing is traffic. We vote this down tonight, next community meeting, you guys are still going to hear about traffic. Right. All right, so I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. The solution is not to vote this up so that you can get some kind of improvement paid for by the developer.
I understand, and I'm not offering what my vote is or is not.
I'm just saying,
you got a developer willing to put $5 million in. We've got everyone saying, no, it's too much traffic. Then not we. I can find alternate routes. I go out that way as well. But sooner or later, and I don't have to tell you, intersections like these have to be addressed. We can't just keep studying them because the cars aren't going to go away. So thank you very much.
No, I agree with you. Thank you. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Representative Kwaka, I just wanted to address one point. You stated that the traffic impact study methodology, which only goes to three intersections unless the scoping letter widens it, it's not really something that the state legislature by itself could legislate. The State Department of Transportation issues dealt out regulations. There are currently new regulations which have been promulgated, I've been intricately involved in it, which have recommended a new methodology using TIDs and MOUs, TOAs and TIDs. This would change that such that intersections would not be limited to simply the last three going out. The reason being is that traffic flows like water. It doesn't necessarily stop artificially at three intersections out. So I'm in favor of that. After the DelDOT regs change, then there's a memorandum of understanding between Newcastle County and DelDOT, which will need to be changed in light of those DelDOT regs. So I would encourage you to participate in that process. I know I will.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because when I brought that question up before about that, I think it was the Gore site over there, near 896, I was told by the DelDOT, yes, that is our, we can change that regulation, but we don't want to get involved. What they're doing is DelDOT is looking for an easy way out so they don't have to be put in the middle of anything. I don't tolerate that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. I think it's a responsibility DelDOT has. And we had an opinion from a county lawyer, a 20-year-old opinion, which said that the county had the right to determine that, which is a dispute. That's not true. But I do hope to move forward with expanding that so we can do that traffic flow 5-6 intersections away on a major highway,
right,
or a major thoroughfare.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, State Rep.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Representative.
Councilman. Representative, please turn.
And it's your area, and I understand that, but I've listened attentively to presentations tonight and from the applicants, so forth and so on. The traffic study peak times were, that I heard, were from 4 to 6. I don't know how you get a true and accurate traffic study from that area from 4 to 6 when we got a number of schools falling out, bringing traffic out, starting at 2:30. And my experience is, basically, it's a nightmare from 2:30 on when school begins to let out. And then I don't know if, when this was considered, what time of year, as it relates to whether or not the university was in session, full session, whether it was summer, winter, whatever. And I think if you're going to do an accurate traffic study, all those things should not be considered, especially on that corridor, because you got private schools and two school districts that are utilizing Kirkwood Highway.
And I agree with you, Councilman, and I will say this, that the traffic studies that are conducted today are flawed, the system is flawed, the methodology is flawed, and I hope to have that conversation with DelDOT, and I would embrace that the county have people there too when I set that up, because it is eventually us handing the ball off through our agency, DelDOT, to you guys to make you look like the bad guys, because it put you in a position where you cannot deny things because we have a traffic study that is inaccurate, but it's also putting you in a precarious position as far as a lawsuit.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mix.
Good evening.
Good evening. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Thank you, yes. County Council. I'm Edward Osinski. I'm the state representative of the 24th District. I represent two large communities just southwest of this project. That would be Windy Hills and Stepford. And they've addressed their concerns to me and have asked me to bring them to you. But since most of them have already been addressed, I'll be very brief. There was only two that really weren't discussed, and that they basically revolve around the right exit on Kirkwood Highway, the right only exit on Kirkwood Highway that forces all traffic to head west toward their communities. Their concerns are, of course, that merger lane narrowing quickly to the two-lane bridge is a concern, a bottleneck. And the other, of course, is since so much traffic is being forced west, they're concerned that when they get to the intersection of their development, there'll be a lot of people U-turning to go east. And this is a very concern for these two communities that I represent. So they've asked me to come here and share their thoughts and ask you to deny this rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you, State Rep. Next, please.
Good evening, Mr. President,
good evening,
members of Council, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Shane Morgan, and I'd like to state for the record that I am not from the 9th. I am actually not even from Delaware. I am from Pennsylvania, but I am the Management Plan Coordinator for the White Clay Wild and Scenic Program. As noted earlier, the stopper tract is in close proximity to the tributaries and main stem of the White Clay Creek, all of which have federal wild and scenic river status. I would like to remind Council that Newcastle County, as an original signatory to the Memorandum of Understanding with the National Park Service, agreed to participate in the cooperative implementation of the Watershed Management Plan and to protect and enhance the watershed's values that earned it this designation. Specifically, this includes agreeing to enforce zoning regulations in a manner to ensure protection of the White Clay and its tributaries. That being said, we have several concerns with the stopover track. We feel that the rezoning proposal allows for a more intense land use that will adversely affect the White Clay. Furthermore, if the intersection at Possum Park and Capitol Trails to be widened and the stream crossings rebuilt in accordance to the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, the National Park Service would have to review the project through the federal permitting process. The massive cut and fill needed to level the existing topography presents a huge challenge to keeping sediment from entering the White Clay Creek during construction. Sediment is the number one cause of pollution in our rivers, with most of it washing in from activities that remove vegetation, leave the earth exposed, such as the proposed construction activities on this site. The proposed location and size of the stormwater pond is questionable. It appears to be undersized relative to the amount of impermeable surface, which is 40 acres, associated with this proposed project. If it is to be deeper than a typical stormwater basin design, there is the additional concern that it may intercept the water table. Furthermore, if water breached the berm during a severe storm event following a week of heavy rains, where would all that water go? Finally, United Water Delaware's intake is directly downstream. It provides drinking water for 110,000 customers. Any major increase in impervious surface will increase stormwater flows, decrease groundwater infiltration, resulting in increased flooding and stream bank erosion, reduced water quality, and decreased stream flows in drought years. In conclusion, it is important to note that while only one quarter of 1% of the land in Delaware is in the White Clay watershed, 10% of the state populations live within its boundaries, and 20% of the state's population gets its water from it. The taxpayer cost of dealing with polluted drinking water and downstream flooding certainly surpass the short-term savings on road improvements. Please consider this when making your decision. Thank you.
Thank you so much. State Rep, please come.
Good evening, Mr. President.
Good to see you, sir.
Members of County Council, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe Moreau. I'm a state representative for Pike Creek, the 22nd District. In addition, I'm a parishioner at Holy Angels Church. I have been a parishioner at Holy Angels for the last 38 years. My five children attended Holy Angels School, and now I have six grandkids that attend the school. Having said that, I come tonight to oppose this rezoning, but I'm not going to repeat the issue of traffic. I am going to speak to the economic impact, the negative impact that it will have on the surrounding businesses and the community, the school, and the church. The development of this property will create some construction jobs, no question about that. But ladies and gentlemen, those jobs are temporary. The real fact of the matter is that it would eliminate jobs in the existing businesses, and it may create a white elephant in the shopping centers that are adjacent to this particular parcel of land. It will destroy College Square and the Liberty Shopping Center, as well as the businesses on the corner on Paper Mill Road and Passon Park Road. It is also important for the record to note that the Newark Shopping Center is planning to retrofit its location, which, ladies and gentlemen, is a very positive economic development for the city, the county, and the state. One of the things that we are trying to do in Dover is to create jobs, not to eliminate jobs. And this project may, in fact, eliminate jobs from the small businesses that we have in the surrounding areas. We need to protect the businesses that are in existence. That is one of the real goals that we have in today's economy, to advance the small business people, because the economy in the state of Delaware, whether it's in the city, in the county, in Sussex County, or in Kent County, It doesn't matter. The big companies are not coming. They're not there anymore. They're downsizing. So we need to really protect the small business people, and we need to make sure that there is the right mechanism for them to advance. Having said all that, it doesn't appear that this parcel is the right parcel for the rezoning that is being proposed here. And I do not come up here to say that nothing should be built on this parcel of land. I do believe that the landowner has the right to build something, and I ask County Council to consider an alternative plan before you approve this project tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next. How many more speakers over here, please? Please raise your hand. We have three more.
Mr. President, yes. Council members, my name is David Inglesby. I'm president of the Chapel Hill West Meadow Civic Association, and I'm here representing those people. That's 299 households in these two subdivisions alone, right at the top of this project. After several meetings with our members, we unanimously urge you to reject this proposal. Not because we don't want to see anything eventually built on this land. We understand the owner's rights. We're concerned about the development and its impact on our community. I'm relatively new to Delaware. I've only been here 2.5 years. But there's one thing that the Land Use Board impressed me with. It was character of our community. My next door neighbor, who's a geologist, gave me a map that runs from Possum Park Road all the way from Highway 2 all the way up to Red Mill. At ours, where it stops at Chapel Hill, we like the idea of Chapel Hill. It's an 80-foot rise. I want you to think for a minute what a 50-foot hole looks like at the bottom of that for a shopping center. That's exactly what they're proposing to build. It directly affects the way we've lived in our community for a long, long time. The idea was it's a green field now. We thought the board did wonderfully in 2007 when it proposed that it's residential and institutional. We think it should go that way. We don't object to projects. We objected this one. We urge you to reject the rezoning on this issue at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bill.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Bill Dunn, Vice President, Civic League for Newcastle County, President, Milltown Limestone Civic Alliance. I want to give CAPA a great deal of credit for an excellent effort in their presentation. Myself, Bill Freeney, and Christine Whitehead met with them close to 2 years ago, and they learned their lessons well, so I give them a lot of credit. I'll try to be very brief. The comprehensive plan was referenced by Mr. Abbott. Amongst people in the individual civic umbrellas as well as Civic League for Newcastle County, we found that the interest of the individual communities and the efforts made by the people coming out of the civic organizations in the latest revision of the comp plan were just short of completely disregarded. And we found that very disappointing, so that anything that might exist or was driven by the developer based on that, I think, should be disregarded in many respects. In the road improvement situation and DelDOT's review of their regulations, they are presently in their third revision of that. Recently, myself, Chuck Mulholland, Representative Hudson, Senator Lavelle, and Senator Peterson all met with DelDOT to discuss what is in the latest proposal. In those circumstances, utilizing the Judge Morris estate right down the road as a theoretical possibility at looking in how changes in regulations might impact the area, knowing that that property would never be developed, they showed the impact of the change in regulations and how much area would have to be considered, whether doing residential, office regional, commercial regional, and all those circumstances under the present proposal, they would do an evaluation far beyond what is being highlighted by the developer in this circumstance.
So I don't believe that it's very representative of where the state seems to be going and where I think they would like to see Newcastle County government go. Finally, I was kind of surprised by the willingness of the developer to consider deed restrictions on the property. If that was really an interest of the developer in seeing that he owns all that property, why did he not go in front of council on the front end of any commercial proposal and rezoning and put the deed restrictions on the rest of the property first so that the community had guarantees that that was going to be standing in the circumstance? Seeing that they chose not to do that, that puts me more in a position to question it even further than it might have otherwise. I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you,
State Rep.
Council President Bullock.
Yes.
State Senator Sokol and I are going to go together. So
outstanding.
So fine, because there's two wonderful ladies that wanted to sneak in up too, if that's okay.
Outstanding, yes.
So, Senator Sokol.
Senator Dave Sokol, 8th District. Mr. President, members of council, members of the public, thank you all for being here tonight. It is truly an honor to serve this area. And tonight, you heard many very compelling and considered reasons why this should be opposed. You also heard some very reasoned and appropriate suggestions for alternatives. I don't want to repeat any of that, so I'm just going to say beyond that that I am very honored also to serve with legislative colleagues, some of whom don't even have this area, who made a point to come out and speak on this matter. Thank you very much.
And I'd like to briefly just give some clarity to some points. Number one, for those of you who didn't catch it, Morningside Nursery will now be out of business with this plan. For those of you who didn't notice the referral continuity to Kirkwood Highway, actually this portion of the road is Old Capitol Trail. It has a different name because it has a different character. If you drive the road, you will notice that. Number three, the Old Capitol Trail Bridge does not even have a sidewalk. It has a two-foot place that I run every day and half the time fall off. Number four, the traffic impact study done in 07 has some adjustments since then. Number one, my neighborhood, Chanterelle, was completed. Number two, Levere's, the MBNA, was nearly empty, and now Bank of America is about the 70% capacity, which still has 30% more to increase the traffic. The economy is slower than it's been forever. Plus, the new community, applicants are talking about, isn't even considered into those numbers. I'd like to make a comment. The applicant states there's no organized civic association in this area who has opposed this. This was an email I got. Please, applicants, look around this room. This is an awful lot of unorganized civic people who care. The thing I am most concerned about is, number one, that these people can get out of their driveways, out of their neighborhoods, out of their access streets, out of Millcroft Senior Home. And the thing that concerns me the most, God forbid one of those people in Millcroft need an ambulance, because the ambulance will have to be a helicopter in order to get through this mess. While some of our applicants watched, and I believe they listened, and I got a little bit angst when I saw them laughing, but I believe they're here, and I believe they respect this community, and they're going to add to this community with another community that would complement it and not a shopping center. In conclusion,
yes,
President Bullock, thank you. County Council persons, Senator Sokol and I have sat here for 3 hours and listened to you people ask wonderful questions, be very kind to every person up here, and do the best you could to make a good decision. Fellow legislators, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you as Senator Sokol did, and the Kappa Gang and all the constituents who are unorganized. Thank you for coming today and letting them see you. I think that was very important. Of course, we'd ask you to please deny the request and have a great night and drive home safely.
Thank you.
Before 11.
Before 11. Please refrain from action again or we'll have to clear the room.
You couldn't have said that 2 hours ago?
Yeah. And I'm not smiling. Smiley. Next, please.
Good evening, President and Council. Yes. My name is Stacey Rayburn, and along with my grade partner, Monica Goff, we are first grade teachers at Holy Angels School. we are here this evening on behalf of the children. And I do have to say this is much easier when I have to do it in front of 6 and 7 year olds than all of you adults. I have a packet of letters that 38 students wrote in opposition of the shopping center being built across from their school, namely right across from their classroom. Our windows look out directly onto Possum Park Road. We look at the farm. We see the natural habitat. We use it in lessons. We have many of their opinions stated in these letters as to why it should not be built. One of them is the school is special to them. They would like to preserve the specialness of the school, their classroom view. The noise while building would be a distraction. They won't be able to hear their teachers teach. They want to save the animals. The traffic will be too great. But mainly, the safety of our children is the biggest priority. Given light of recent situations, our job, along with many of our jobs, but number one is to keep our children safe. I honestly don't know, as one person who's responsible for these children on the playground every day, how I could keep them safe or promise to keep them safe when so many strangers are turning into the shopping center. And lastly, I want to leave you by saying that we teach our children that community leaders are elected to keep them safe. Please make good on your word. Keep our school and its children safe and stop this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a brief rebuttal by Mr. Abbott. And then we will call for the vote. Mr. Abbott.
Mr. President, yes. A lot of different issues. One thing, if we could bring up one of the slides, because I think there's a misunderstanding that there's an entrance off of Kirkwood Highway. I'm sorry if it's already off, and we'll skip it. There's an entrance off Kirkwood Highway, so...
3 minutes, please.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The depth is pretty much irrelevant. The point is there's a buffer. That's the key. The depth is not doesn't make any difference. You have here, and I wanted to highlight for you, the comparison between the Land Use Department's recommendation on the Barley Mill Plaza project, which is a less appropriate CR zoning than this site for numerous factors, as I stated in my letter to you today. And yet, the Land Use Department, because the political juice was in favor of Barley Mill Plaza, said it met the 5 UDC rezoning criteria with flying colors. And in contrast, because for whatever reason land use has become a political animal now, it heard community opposition in this instance and only gave you one half of the story. What are the negatives? Well, sure, you can always state negatives with respect to any proposed rezoning. They didn't tell you all the positives that we provided to you. And if you look at this stark contrast, when you compare the recommendation on Barley Mill, which, by the way, is the exact same size shopping center, in a residential, open space, office area. It is a spot zone without any precedent or any commercial nearby, other than some small commercial, which is what everybody's arguing here. So we have a TIS, we have road improvements. Barley Mill did not. The other thing on jobs, 480, and I'm going to hand into the record an estimate that I had prepared by Adel Construction in June of 2011. Those will be the construction jobs. And as I said, Mr. Esty, who's here tonight, if you want to ask him the questions, will advise you how he concluded 450 full-time jobs, full-time, permanent, not as Representative Moreau said, temporary, and 50 part-time, permanent. So, again, I'll hand that to Ms. Dool and ask her to hand that to the clerk, please. The site is cleared. There are stormwater management areas, bioretention areas. There will be no increase in flooding. That's simply a scare tactic. Ruining a green field, leave it open, don't change anything. That, you heard that in a number of different comments here tonight. That's what really is driving this. Folks don't want anything. They want no development at any time. And these last-minute efforts to try and look responsible by coming up with proposals that they've never shared with us before is merely a tactic that they're trying to do to try and show you something that doesn't really exist. Holy Angels, I have to beg to differ with them. A safer school would be a better school. And that's what they will get with a traffic signal, better access, safer roads, safer intersections. And with respect to the white clay comments, you got those, my response to that, in the written submission today. So I guess, I can tell you with certainty, I would have to beg to differ with my friend, Mr. Ramon, Representative Ramon, basically everything he said was not correct. I never said there's no civic group in the area. I said there's no civic umbrella group in the area, because there isn't one, other than Pike Creek Valley, who didn't object. So there's no noise study. There's no empirical data. All you heard tonight from most of the people that commented, not all of them.
Thank you, sir.
Are a parade of horribles which are unsupported by any factual or study or report.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I represent the north side of Kirkwood Highway from Price's Corner to White Clay Creek for 4 years, from 98 to 202, as a county councilman. Never heard once of this organized group, Kappa. I even searched to find a civic group in the area, but there was none.
Thank you. Representative Morrow. Now,
if I may, Mr. President,
we will take the vote after this.
We
will take the vote after this.
The fact of the matter is that the jobs that are being proposed in the construction phase are temporary, and the number of jobs that have been created, when you look at the total employment that is in those four shopping centers that I mentioned, there is no positive improvement in the job market.
Thank you. We will now call for the vote. Mr. Abbott, please.
As I said before, and
Mr. Abbott, please.
Representative Malone is not reading to you.
Point of order.
That clarified the issue.
Thank you. We will now call for the vote. Thank you. We will now vote on 11-057. Each councilman must state that they are voting yes or no and include a rationale for your vote.
Mr. Bell?
I will be voting, or I am voting, not will be. I am voting no based upon the negative recommendations of both our land use department and our planning board. It is also my firm belief that this rezoning plan is inconsistent with the character of the neighboring community, will have a negative impact on nearby properties, and I question the consideration given to the safety and well-being of the neighboring communities.
Mr. Bullock?
I'm opposing the rezoning based on the following concerns. Number one, the serious traffic and pedestrian issue. Number two, it would disrupt the character of the existing community. Number three, it wouldn't improve the quality of life. Number four, would have a negative economic impact on small businesses. And number five, Holy Angels Church and School must remain holy.
Amen. Mr. Cartier?
Thank you. I am voting no based on the negative recommendations of the Planning Board and Department of Land Use, and also the fact that this proposal is completely out of scale and not consistent with the community character in any way.
Ms. Diller?
I'm voting no because of the lack of consistency with the character of the neighborhood, the lack of consistency with the zoning and the use of nearby property, because of the adverse effect on the nearby property.
Mr. Holmes?
Mr. President, I'm going to agree with the recommendation from the Planning Board, and that this application does not meet the standard of the five criteria required by code. specifically, in my opinion, the intensity of this proposal from S to CR is totally incompatible with the existing character of the community, and I'm voting for denial.
Thank you, Councilman Holland.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
I'm voting no. I'm upholding the negative recommendation of the department, and I have very serious concerns about the consistency with the character of the surrounding neighborhoods and nearby properties.
Mr. Powers?
I'm voting no to the recommendation from the Land Use and Planning Board and the consistency of the development in the area.
Mr. Retta?
I'm voting no in agreement with Land Use and Planning Board, and I think it would have a negative impact with the surrounding area.
Sheldon?
I am also voting no with the negative recommendation standing by the Land Use, with the negative recommendation and definitely with the consistency of the character of the neighborhood.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes, I'm voting no. Support of the Land Use Department and their failure to recommend. And I also do not believe that this type of a development of the property is in character with the surrounding area.
Mr. Street?
I'm voting no, consistent with the recommendations of the department, consistent with the recommendations of the planning board, and quite frankly, even if that were not the case, there's no way I could stand up there in November and take an oath that says a flow from the people. See, approximately 300 people coming here tonight, and nobody, no resident, no merchant, nobody is supporting it. And so in good conscience, that would be a major problem anyway.
Mr. Packett?
I am voting no on the plan. I'll be supporting the land use and the planning board recommendations given the no consistency and the adverse impact on the surrounding area.
Mr. Weiner?
I am voting no based upon the recommendations of the Land Use Department and Planning Board. I'm concerned about the negative economic impact on the city of Newark. I don't consider this project to be pedestrian friendly, and I'm concerned about the viability of College Square and Newark Shopping Center, and this would undermine their future viability.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 no.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone for coming, and want to thank the citizens here for being here to express your concern about your county, and also want to thank all groups who presented for a well put and well developed presentations. Thank you. We will now move on. The room is clear now.
Item J.
We have item J. Mr. Street, honorary resolutions. Please move quietly. Thank you so much.
I move that resolution number 13-057 be read by title and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
So. Second.
Resolution 13-057, honoring the life of Mr. Craig Stockson.
Yes, Mr.
Sweet.
Yes, Mr. President. As per title, and Mr. Stockson was came to Wilmington as a Lutheran volunteer. He served Delaware Food Bank, two Lutheran agencies within the city of Wilmington, including the one who's my former colleague, and then 15 years at the Autism Society in South Carolina. And young man, and I was saddened and shocked to learn of his passing. So I present the resolution accordingly.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Any comments, public comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Cardiac?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Patrick?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Loretta?
Yes.
Zeldin? Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Reese?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, rule 13, yes.
Thank you. Resolution 13-059, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I request that resolution number 13-059 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 13-059, thanking James Hudson for his dedicated service to the Newcastle County Board of Adjustment.
Mr. Smiley.
As per the title.
Second.
Any public comment?
No public.
No public, no comment. Seeing none. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Huh? Yes.
Mr. President, roll call bills 13, yes.
Item L, resolution number 13-058, Mr. Pro Tem, Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that resolution number 13-058 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-058, appointing Donald L. Baker the second to the Newcastle County Diversity Committee.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution, R-13058, replaces the resolution that was withdrawn simply because the resolution that was withdrawn says it was consenting. In this case, we're not consenting. It's not the executive's appointment. It's a county appointment. It's a council's appointment. So we're, in fact, appointing. So since this was part of the title, we were advised to withdraw that resolution and come forward with this one. So that's what's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you. Public comments, seeing none. Close the floor. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes. Pass my bid down.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good night. God bless you.
I'll save all this for the next meeting.
I had to give him a little time.
Oh, you're saying we can just do a roll.
No.
I mean, but a voice vote. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We can do a voice vote. I think what happened before when Weiner and Kovac was going through all this stuff, because remember one time before they didn't even want them on the consent count.
Right.
And we went through.